Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
114-110, we have a new NBA champion. The Toronto Raptors securing their first championship in franchise history. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann today, taking you up to your weekend, 7 o'clock. It is a Friday, 4:03 on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. A great show for you today. We have plenty of great guests. We'll tell you about them in just a second. But first, we're going to have a chance for you to win, as we have all week. A Freedom Festival prize pack will be on the line later on today, as will a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. Sean Woodley from the Locked On Raptors podcast is going to join us to talk about the Toronto Raptors and their head coach, Nick Nurse, the Carroll, Iowa native who leads the Raptors to their first NBA championship. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, will join us at 5:30 for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases. Love It or Leave It will be at 6. We're going to talk about the New York Jets at 5 o'clock. Why? Well, apparently Todd McShay was in the running for a very high-up position within their front office. And it's starting, there's a trend starting to build around the league and, quite honestly, in society, with people who are way underqualified to do their job or do another job entirely, getting a job in a very important decision-making position. We'll discuss that later. Magic Johnson, Mike Mayock, John Gruden. Excuse me. What's going on, Kyle? What's up?
Not a lot, dude. I'm just letting everything soak in from last night. I, you know, for two teams that I'm not emotionally invested in whatsoever, that the second half in particular, that was a roller coaster. And I'll even start in the first quarter because things started with Kyle Lowry, you know, just coming out as hot as he did. All of a sudden, I was rooting for the Raptors. But then, goodness gracious, could things have gone in a more devastating fashion for the Warriors in that series?
And you took the words right out of my mouth. I am so conflicted on how to feel about that series.
Yeah.
I want to start with saying I feel great for the city of Toronto and for Kawhi Leonard and for Kyle Lowry and for Nick Nurse, who took over a situation that seemed impossible to take over. A team that had not been able to get over the hump despite, what, four or five good regular seasons in a row in the Eastern Conference. A team that lost one of their best players in a trade and brought in Kawhi Leonard on a one-year deal. Brought him in a trade with 1 year remaining on his contract, better said, more accurately said. And he had to get this team over the hump. And I thought that as long as they got to the NBA Finals, this was going to be a success for Toronto. This was going to be a success for Masai Ujiri, their general manager, who made the move to make the trade for Kawhi Leonard and elevate Nick Nurse to the head coach position. But nobody envisioned this. And this is a year to the day that Nick Nurse joined our show. Join the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.
Is it really?
It is a year to the day. I got the notification on Facebook this morning. You remember this post about Nick Nurse joining your show? Yes, 1 year. And Nick Nurse, the Carroll native, the UNI Panther, is an NBA champion. Now, that's the good part. The bad part is the Golden State Warriors and two of their best players had devastating and possibly career-altering injuries during the course of the series. Not just series-altering. We know how it altered the series. We'll see what Kevin Durant looks like when he comes back. Klay Thompson, you would think, will be back next season. Probably not the beginning of next season, but he'll be back at some point next season. I was sick to my stomach when I saw the way that Klay Thompson landed on that knee. And I said right away, I go, that's an ACL injury. And somebody looked at me and said, no, he wouldn't be able to run back on the court the way that he did. He's a tough guy. But two devastating injuries in one series. And while I'm happy for Toronto, it's sort of sickening to see the way that the Golden State Warriors literally fell apart.
You're right. It was such an entertaining, you know, even without KD, things turned out to be really entertaining. This was a thrilling series to watch. But after Klay went down, I'm glad that this series is over. I'm glad that Toronto won, because if I had to choose, that was the team that I thought would win last night. It's the team that I wanted to win the series. But as soon as Klay went down, I didn't care. I'm still happy for Toronto, but it wasn't supposed to go down like that, you know. And
we wanted to see a series where at the very least, we figured Kevin Durant might be out, but Klay Thompson at 65-70%, Steph Curry was going to be healthy, Andre Iguodala would be healthy, Kevon Looney would be. It just wasn't like that. The Golden State Warriors were overmatched because they were completely beat up. And that sounds like I'm taking something away from the Toronto Raptors. It's the fact of the matter. Yeah. You can't get around it.
Yeah. No, you can't. They played, you know, no KD in this game, no Klay Thompson for a quarter and a half. Toronto ends up winning that game by 1 point. You know, it's hard to say that if Klay Thompson doesn't at least make it through that game, that this series is at least going to a game seven. You know, you can't say that without taking something away from Toronto, but you really don't mean to, because, you know, all the credit in the world to them. It's a good team. You and I both sat here in front of these microphones yesterday and said Toronto is the better team. We both thought that they would win and end that series. But now today, it just, you know, that's exactly what happened, and it doesn't feel good. And I think what sucks the most is that, go back and think about when KD first got hurt in the Rockets series. That was, you know, a week or two after the whole thing with Patrick Beverley, where he's saying, you know, I don't have to get engaged with Patrick Beverley. I'm Kevin Durant. You guys know who I am. I think he got held to like 10 points or something that night. It was a bad night. And he goes, he says, you know, I don't have to go back and forth with Patrick Beverley because, you know, I'm bigger than that. I don't have to get caught up in those little disputes. I'm Kevin Durant. You guys aren't going to tell me that, you know, one bad game is going to, you know, hurt my reputation. And then what did he do for the next 2 weeks after that, up until he got hurt? It was pretty much the best basketball he had ever played, and especially in the context of it being in the playoffs. Kevin Durant was at the peak of his career when he first got hurt, and 2 weeks, or about a month later now, blew out his Achilles. Similarly, last night, I don't know if you felt it, but, you know, Steph and Klay weathered the storm for the first half, and then in that third quarter, they're starting to get hot. Klay's pulling up from several feet behind the line. And then even more than that, he was starting to bully. He was starting to lower his shoulder and go down low, go up for tough layups. Klay Thompson was in takeover mode. And I thought that it was just so good to see that. And then, like, a minute later, he goes up for a layup. And right away, you know, the way he reacted, you knew something was wrong. Any time you see the players huddle around immediately, dude, you just know something is messed up. And then you saw the replay, and you know, again, you knew something was wrong. And all of a sudden, I didn't want to watch any more of the game.
30 points, 4 of 6 from beyond the arc, 10 of 10 from the 3-point line, 32 minutes played. That was Klay Thompson last night before he got hurt. Well, he made 2 free throws after he got hurt, but then they took him out because we know now that he has a torn ACL. The point that I want to get to, though, is a discussion that is interesting. The Kawhi Leonard trade. The Toronto Raptors took a huge leap of faith, because go back to when this trade was made. It's understanding that LeBron James was going to the Western Conference, but also understanding that Philadelphia and Boston in the East were two teams that they were going to have to contend with. And the Golden State Warriors had just brought in Boogie Cousins. It looked like this was a team that there was no way anybody was going to be able to contend with. So the Toronto Raptors and Masai Ujiri, their general manager, decide we're going to trade for Kawhi Leonard for 1 year, and we're going to try to get the most out of him that we can. Now, that's not necessarily a very popular way of going about things in any sport. How often do you hear, okay, let's weigh the short term versus the long term? that's the popular way to go. So bringing in a guy like Kawhi Leonard for 1 year was a gamble. And it turns out that it was probably one of the best gambles in the history of the NBA.
Yep.
Actually, maybe the best gamble in the history of the NBA. And it got me to thinking, when you are talking about your team, at what point can you consider a trade a success like that? Where you're going all in and you are trying to, you're trying to win a championship or get reach your goal. I honestly think for the Toronto Raptors, it was the Eastern Conference Finals. If they would, or if the NBA Finals, if they would have just gotten there and lost, I think a lot of people would have said, you know what, this is a, it worked out. Even if Kawhi Leonard never played another game there. Now, if he never plays another game there, it doesn't matter. He's still going to get a statue built of him in Toronto. But I think about the Cubs. In 2016, I know that there are people out there that still say, man, I wish we had Gleyber Torres. Well, if you didn't
can't say that,
if you had Gleyber Torres, you wouldn't have a championship because that means you wouldn't have had Aroldis Chapman. You can't say that, can you? At what point do we start seeing more teams go for it, especially a team like Toronto that knows, hey, we're not a big market. We're not going to attract a bunch of free agents to come here. We've got to get a superstar any way that we can get him.
That is exactly it. Is that, you know, when the trade went down, like you said, I remember thinking that, you know, it's great for Toronto to go for it like this. But is it worth it? Because Golden State is so good. Is this going to work out? And I'm going to push back on one of the points you made, but actually in a way that makes your point for you a little bit better. I don't think that if they make it to the finals and lose, I don't think fans are satisfied. I think, well, you're essentially in the same place that you were, because the problem was that they kept making it. They were good. They would make it pretty, you know, have a good run in the playoffs, but they just couldn't get over the hump. If you make it to the finals but don't get the championship, well, you know, we gave up DeMar DeRozan. We gave you one of our OGs for a championship. And if you're going to come here for 1 year and leave without a championship, I don't think they'd have been satisfied with that. And so there was even more pressure on the Raptors because they had to win. It was win or bust. But then to your point, you can do whatever, give up whatever you want to. If you get a title, it's okay. And I think the Cubs and the Gleyber Torres, that's a great example. Because I wouldn't really have even thought about it like that, but I have been in the boat where, you know, Gleyber Torres is a pretty good player. He's a very good player. He's got like 15 home runs against the Orioles alone this year, but he is a good player, and so it would be nice to have him on that team. But at the end of the day, as you said, if he's still a Cub, then that changes the course of that entire season. And, you know, if we don't get a title that year, it might be another 100 years until we get a chance. So you just can't play that game. You do what you need to do to get a title, and you just forget about it.
319-366-1600. That's the phone line, as well as the Hurtin and Stocker text line. 9437. The NBA needs to shorten the season or the playoffs. Too many games and wear and tear on the players. I say this about three of the four major sports in America. The baseball season is absurdly long.
Oh,
it's stupid long. There is no reason to have 162 games, and nobody can convince me otherwise.
Here's the thing. I think this is true with most of the pro sports leagues, but most true with baseball. We've been keeping records for a long, long time. And I know there have been slight changes before, but any drastic changes to the games, number of games that teams play, that kind of nullifies. It kind of takes the record books and
there's that.
Like, but you're basically starting a whole new era of the sport, and that's just like a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah. Well, if we have to do that just to make sure that we see less baseball games, I'm all for it.
There's a lot of baseball games.
Like there are just way too many baseball games. There are way too many NBA regular season games, and there are way too many regular season NHL games, and the playoffs in the NHL go way too long. So I agree with you there. I just wonder with the NBA, are there going to be teams out there? Because you look at this league that the relevance of a lot of teams are, it's non-existent. I never thought I'd be sitting here talking about a Toronto Raptors championship. Why are we talking about a Toronto Raptors championship? Because they took the leap of faith, made the trade to bring in a superstar that was necessary. If they would have waited back and tried to acquire one in free agency, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Are we going to see some of these mid-market teams try to do this?
What I think is exciting about that point is, because I think the answer is yes. I don't know. Did you see what started to go around from just a small conversation that Adrian Wojnarowski had yesterday?
Woj bomb?
It wasn't so much a Woj bomb, but it was kind of Woj foreshadowing, where we're just going to have to see how things play out. But he says that he's getting a vibe from agents and execs and players around the league that as the Warriors, you know, I don't want to say crumble or fall apart, but, you know, as the Warriors grow apart now, where that team's not going to be the same as it has been, we're going to see the end of the super team era. And we're going to start to see a little bit more even distribution of the talent. And so in that sense, if we don't have the super teams, you know, like I said, I thought the Kawhi trade was crazy juxtaposed against how good it seemed Golden State was. But if you don't have that Golden State, if you don't have that monolith that all the little teams and middle market teams are scared of, then yeah, I think they would be much more motivated to make that leap of faith.
The end of the super team. Are you buying the fact that we're not talking about the end of the Golden State dynasty, are we?
No,
that's ridiculous.
I mean, the Splash Brothers, Draymond Green, and Steve Kerr are going to be there for a long, long time. KD might leave. The bench is going to change. But those four guys, that is the Golden State dynasty.
Have you also seen how active they are in free agency?
Yeah, they're smart guys.
Yeah, they don't care what the rest of the league thinks as far as if they whether or not they should bring in more superstars or not, or whether or not that they think that this is unfair or not. They will bring in somebody else.
And think back to when they first got KD. Nobody really even thought that was a possibility.
No.
Until about...
That's not fair. Well, okay, so they can't go out and make their team better because they're too good?
Nobody even knew it was a... Like, nobody had literally even thought about it until, I believe, like a month or two before it happened. That was not something that, you know, was even part of the league discourse throughout the season. That happened very quickly. And so Golden State, that just goes to show that the guys in the front office there, they're forward thinking and they're smart guys. They know how to make things work.
You mean they're not TV stars like
No.
Mike Mayock and
I don't think I've seen them on any
Todd
TV
McShay.
Shows.
We're going to get to that at 5 o'clock because I don't understand what the thought process is with some of these teams. Why do they do things that don't work? Has that ever worked? Has there ever been a point where somebody was hired in sports that was completely underqualified and was famous for literally something completely different than what the job that they got, what the job description of was for the job they were hired for, and it worked out?
Well, I mean, Mike Mayock just proved that he was the only guy in the league who knew that Clelin Ferrell was a top four talent, so clearly that worked for Oakland.
Yeah, worked for Oakland.
Gruden traded away Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack. The only genius who would have thought to do that.
Right, right.
So smooth sailing. I understand why the Jets are doing that.
Because things are working out so well in Oakland.
Terrific.
Like, is it because they want to be on Hard Knocks next year? Is that what it is? Is it like a casting thing?
If I will engage for one, like, it, actually trying to make sense of it, maybe in New York, you think you need a guy who's familiar with the media and knows how to handle the media. Maybe you think that his familiarity in the industry kind of could somehow ease pressures from the outside. Maybe. I don't know.
We'll get to it, but here, I'll make sense of it. Joe Douglas is the new general manager in New York. He was teammates at Richmond with one he's buddies with one Todd McShay. So
getting the band back together.
Like once again, there's nothing that could go wrong. Hiring a guy with no experience whatsoever who's also your friend. Sounds like a great move. 319-366-1600. We're going to hear from Sean Woodley in just a second from SB Nation. And Jack Dom at 5:30 will join us for Touching All the Bases. And before we get to Sean Woodley, we need to get a big board update, and it is brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Alexander Lumber with a brand new facility that will be opening up very shortly, but you can still find them in their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City.
The Raptors won Canada's first NBA championship last night, which is all well and good, but we all now need to recognize Nick Nurse as an all-time Iowa sports figure. Born in Carroll, Iowa, Nurse became UNI's most efficient three-point shooter in program history in the mid-80s at 47% before beginning his coaching career as an assistant coach under Eldon Miller. He spent nearly 30 years then coaching overseas and in the G League before now becoming an NBA champion in his very first season as a head coach. Next up on the NBA schedule, even before free agency officially begins, is the draft, which takes place in less than a week already next Thursday. Iowa State's Talon Horton Tucker is the local guy who's got a real chance to sneak into the first round, according to an aggregate big board from HoopsHype.com, which is similar to the 24/7 sports composite rankings. It combines a handful of top scouting outlets and turns it into one. Horton Tucker is the 36th top prospect in this upcoming draft, while Iowa's Tyler Cook is the 60th, and former Cyclone Lindell Wigginton isn't even ranked by enough outlets to make the 78-man list. The Colonels were shut out last night going for a sweep of Wisconsin, and they now trail Burlington by 2 games for a wild-card spot with only a 3-game weekend series against Clinton remaining in the first half. That series is right here in town, so you can be there as they try to sneak into the playoffs beginning tonight at 6:35. And by the way, it's a Z102.9 Mug Club night. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins and Royals on the North Gym. We'll have the end of that series tomorrow and the beginning of another hosting Boston on Sunday. We're also going to have the Cubs and Dodgers tomorrow evening on the South and Main Gyms.
Should we do it right now?
We can do it now.
Let's do it. A $30 gift card to caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. You can visit them. They have their happy hour every day 3 to 6. And on Thursdays, we'll be there next Thursday, Half Price Wings. After 6 from 6 p.m. until close. 319-366-1600. Caller number 6 will be the winner of our $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub, our final giveaway, Mulligan's giveaway of the week. When we return, Sean Woodley from the Locked On Raptors podcast, also a contributor for TSN, is going to join us to tell us about the party that is going on in Toronto as they celebrate their first NBA championship in franchise history. You will hear from Sean next.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer, all the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
If you build it, he will come.
This Father's Day, join the Colonels for Field of Dreams Day at the ballpark. The first 1,000 fans will receive a souvenir baseball, and fans can meet Dwyer Brown, who played John Kinsella in the movie. All kids 12 and under eat free every Sunday thanks to Western Fraternal Life. All fans are welcome to enjoy a game of catch in the outfield and run the bases as part of Prairie Farms Run the Bases Sunday after the game. Get tickets at Colonels.com.
As a mechanic, you're always fixing things, tinkering, tweaking, making it perfect for somebody else. But when's the last time you fixed something that's not working in your life? Star Equipment wants to take care of an experienced mechanic like you. There's always full-time work, summer or winter, and they'll make sure you have plenty of time with your family too. Get the stability, pay, and benefits you deserve from a growing business that shares your values. Learn more online at StarEquip.com. Equal opportunity employer. Pre-employment drug test required.
The Los Angeles Dodgers and the Chicago Cubs. Live from Dodger Stadium this weekend.
Saturday night starting at 7 o'clock here on The Gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Welcome back into the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on a Friday. Todd Brommelkamp is out. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann. Jackson Parker, our producer, on the other side of the glass. We'll be taking you up until 7 o'clock. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, will be joining us at 5:30 for Touching All the Bases. It was a big night in the NBA, as we have been discussing throughout the first half hour of the show. Carroll, Iowa native Nick Nurse brings a championship to the city of Toronto. The Toronto Raptors in six games defeat the Golden State Warriors in game six, a 114-110 victory over Golden State. Joining us now from Raptors HQ and the Locked On Raptors podcast, Sean Woodley, who covers the team in the city of Toronto. Sean, is the party still rolling on in Toronto?
I don't think it's going to stop until like September. It's wild, man. I was in the city watching the game with some friends. I live about an hour outside the city, so I had to drive home after a little bit of celebration in the streets. But friends texting me saying they walked home, and their entire walk home, 2, 3, 4 hours, was just people in every single corner of the street. Yonge Street is like the longest street it's like the main street in Toronto. It's kind of the dividing line between the east and west halves. It's like 25 kilometers, so I'm not sure what that is in miles, but like from top to bottom, apparently absolutely just jammed with people celebrating, honking horns, and just sort of hanging out and dancing. It was something else. I know, you know, you're never going to get this again, right? Like, even if the Raptors come back and do it again next season, it's really, really remarkable how sort of just, like, organic the fervor for the team has been up here this time around, because it's the first time they've done it, and it's never going to be like this again. So I just really hope people are savoring it.
Let's talk about how this whole thing came together. Last year, with Cy Ujiri, he fires Dwayne Casey, brings in Nick Nurse, he fired the coach of the year in the NBA, they bring in Kawhi Leonard, and there are a lot of people saying, well, he's only going to be there 1 year. You gave up DeMar DeRozan, a franchise player, for a one-year rental. Well, I think it worked out.
It sure did. There was never really any doubt once Kawhi showed up and was like playing that it was going to work out. You know, you could argue what sort of level of success the Raptors had to have for it to really be worth it. I thought, you know, just sort of making it past the second round was enough to justify it all. And they did that obviously very loudly with that buzzer beater from Kawhi and sort of made all the trade worth it. And yeah, I mean, it was a situation where the Raptors were in a very sort of unique circumstance. They had been very good for 5 years, but not quite good enough. And there was a very much sort of imposed cap on their ceiling with DeMar DeRozan as sort of their lead usage guy. And, you know, Masai Ujiri decided to be bold and sort of, I think maybe you risk sort of accelerating your rebuild that was coming a year or two away anyway, and maybe you made it more likely that it's going to happen, but you did it to get a guy as good as Kawhi Leonard who can lead you to what he led you to last night, and it was totally worth it. Masai Ujiri deserves a ton of credit for just like the stones on him to go out and make that trade, and for the Raptors to sort of have Kawhi come in, and Nick Nurse, I mean, you mentioned Nick Nurse, Iowa's own, I mean, he was granted like a pretty difficult job, right? I mean, it's easy because you have Kawhi Leonard on your team, but also it's an insanely difficult job because you come in replacing Dwayne Casey, who had built so much of a culture here. And, you know, Nick Nurse has to come in and go, okay, well, we have Kawhi now. That's great. But we have this sort of health thing to be concerned about. We're going to have to manage his time. And there's a whole sort of specter of him leaving at the end of the season and a lot of expectation on this team to do better than it's done in the past. And Nick Nurse did a fantastic job. He pressed all the right buttons. He was outstanding, I think, from like the second round on in this postseason. He just, every single adjustment he made was just note perfect. And he did a fantastic job. So it all just kind of came together with, you know, very good leadership up top from the side down to excellent players on the floor and Kawhi and Kyle Lowry and the rest. And then Nick Nurse sort of tying it all together. It just was a really, really well-constructed team top to bottom.
So let's get into the Nick Nurse factor. What imprint did he leave on this team? What did he bring to the table that Dwayne Casey could not?
Yeah, so the thing that I always kind of thought about Dwayne Casey is that he was a really, really great sort of culture builder and sort of set habits up. And they won a lot of regular season games because he would sort of come in and say, all right, Patrick Patterson, this is your role. You're going to do it 82 times this season and get really good at it. And he would do that for every single player. And Kyle Lowry, this is what you're doing. DeMar DeRozan, this is what you're doing. Jonas Valanciunas, this is what you're doing. And, you know, I think that kind of ran its course a little bit because the Raptors would run into the postseason where Dwayne Casey would kind of get stuck in his ways of the regular season. He'd get too married to the staunch rotations he'd set up in the regular season and kind of be a little bit flummoxed when he had to make new moves and sort of change up the vibe when it got to the postseason. And that's what Nick Nurse brought. He was more experimental in the regular season. He didn't have a set rotation really all year. Injuries played a factor in that, but for the most part, he was just trying stuff out. And he moved Serge Ibaka to a full-time center, you know, did away with him playing power forward entirely, ran a platoon at center most of the season before Marc Gasol came in. And he just was trying different stuff out, throwing stuff at the wall, see what would work, see what didn't work. And then you got to the postseason, and he was able to sort of call back to a bunch of different things he tried for small parts of the regular season in a way that Dwayne Casey never really sort of built up that database of lineups and different sort of, you know, combinations he could throw out there. And so I thought just the way Nick Nurse was so adaptable and sort of outside the box, I mean, you know, no pun intended, but when he ran the box in one defense in the finals against the Warriors, people were like, whoa, what's that? That's a high school defense. But, like, it worked. And they really, really shut down the Warriors when they busted that defense out. And it was a perfect way to guard the Warriors with just Steph Curry and no other shooters on the floor. And so, yeah, I thought Nick Nurse just pressed all the right buttons. He was creative. He would sort of be ahead of the curve a little bit, you know, starting Fred VanVleet in second halves in the finals to go up against Steph Curry, even though Danny Green had been the starter all season long, just sort of seeing the way that matchup favored the Raptors. I thought, you know, Nick Nurse pressed every single button correctly. He didn't give up on guys, you know, in the second round, third round. A lot of guys are really struggling. Fred VanVleet was missing everything. Danny Green not playing very well. Marc Gasol wasn't playing awesome to start the Bucks series. And there were calls to change the starting five. And Dwayne Casey might have done that in sort of a panicky move in the past, but Nick Nurse sort of trusted in what he built and sort of trusted in his guys. And it ended up that those guys ended up being a big reason why they ended up winning the championship. So just top to bottom, a fantastic job by Nick Nurse.
You guys have already outlined, a lot of change and high-profile turnover that was necessary to get the Raptors to this point. And so keeping that in mind, how satisfying was it for an OG, the OG, Kyle Lowry, to perform 26 points, 10 assists, 7 boards? How satisfying was it to see him perform like that in the clincher?
I am happier for Kyle Lowry than I am for any other person on the Raptors. He deserves this so much for all he's done for the Raptors over the course of the years. Like, he's got a lot of crap for, I think, unfairly being viewed as this sort of, like, playoff choker, which has never really been the case. He had a couple bad series. You know, he was really bad when they got swept by the Wizards in 2015 and was pretty rough in the Pacers series to start their run to the conference finals in 2016. But pretty much ever since, like, game 2 of the Miami Heat series in their second round in 2016, he's been fantastic. And maybe that's an arbitrary endpoint, but he's been awesome ever since then, and he'll tell you that. He'll be like, hey, people have their opinions, but look at what I've done since, you know, X date, and I've been fantastic. And last night, to see him come out when, you know, I think what happened last night was it was sort of a culmination of all of the terror Kawhi Leonard had wrought upon opposing defenses all postseason long. There was so much sort of dedication on the Warriors' part to stopping Kawhi last night. They were not going to be beat by Kawhi. And instead, Kyle Lowry saw that and said, okay, I'll beat you then. And he was so aggressive out of the gate. And he did the thing that he's done all season long, where when the Raptors need buckets, he'll go get them, and then he'll sort of let the game sort of settle in. He'll take a step back once other guys get hot. He'll set other guys up. And you saw the 10 assists last night. You know, he turns 15 points in the first quarter into a 10-assist game. And it's just a really, really an all-encompassing Kyle Lowry performance. And I can't think of someone more deserving of all the praise he got last night for his game. He's done so much for the Raptors. He's the most important Raptor in franchise history. He's going to have a statue. He's going to have his number retired, all that stuff. And, you know, he might be even putting together like a sort of fringy Hall of Fame case at this point too with this title. He's everything to the Raptors. He's the engine of the Raptors, and I could not be happier for Kyle Lowry.
You mentioned the narratives. How did he sort of become the fall guy for this franchise? Because that's what it seems like he became to me.
Yeah, I mean, there was some pretty, like, ugly shooting lines, that's for sure.
Right.
He didn't make it easy on himself, right? He didn't make it easy to defend them sometimes. I mean, he goes out in the first game of this postseason against Orlando, which seems like a year ago at this point, and has 0 points. And DJ Augustine hit the game-winning three, and it's like, oh, man, he got outplayed by DJ Augustine? Really? Come on, dude. And, you know, people who watch Kyle Lowry all the time argue for his value based on what he does away from the scoring sheet and just sort of how he does everything on the margins and in the gaps that you don't really see. You know, those arguments kind of fall flat when he's putting up 0 points or 4 points or something like that. And I think that kind of added up over the course of the years. And the fact that the Raptors usually fell short and not really through any fault of his own. I mean, you think of the losses to the LeBron James teams. I mean, first, that's mostly just LeBron being LeBron and just being much better than what the Raptors had on hand. And a lot of it also was DeMar DeRozan really falling flat in those series. You know, think back to some of the games that took place in those series against the Cavs. DeMar DeRozan would routinely get benched in fourth quarters while Kyle Lowry was out there. He was always sort of the powering force of any sort of positive play the Raptors had. But I think DeMar, because he had sort of gaudier scoring totals and was more consistent scoring-wise, I think maybe sort of was viewed as the best player on the Raptors, but that was never the case. Kyle Lowry has been the best player on the Raptors, before Kawhi Leonard showed up at least, for the last 6 or 7 years. And that's sort of undebatable if you sort of look into the more advanced numbers and look at his on-off and his sort of on-court impact numbers. And I think he just kind of got unfairly maligned because people like points, and he didn't really put up buckets the way you'd expect like an all-NBA type guard to do. But everything else he does on the margins, his defense, his playmaking, the number of charges he takes, the number of possessions he just like wins the Raptors by being smart, it adds up over the course of time into a really, really all-encompassing, excellent basketball player.
It's kind of crazy to hear you put it into perspective where you say, you know, Kawhi's already going to get a statue. He's the most important Raptor in franchise history. All that in just 1 year. And I don't know if you've given a whole lot of thought to this yet. I don't know if you want to, but is it going to be just 1 year of Kawhi in Toronto?
I tend to think he's going to stick around at least for a short deal. That's sort of been the talk lately, that maybe he'll take like a 1+1 and get himself to his 10th year in the league so he can make the ultimate amount of money as a 10-year veteran and a couple of years in free agency. And if that's the case, great. Honestly, I haven't thought about it at all. The way I've gone about it today is I just viewed today as a Hakuna Matata day. No worries at all. I'm just sort of like happy and enjoying the moment and not worrying about the future. There are rumors about Masai Ujiri's future and the Wizards and all this stuff. I don't care about that stuff today. I'm not going to care about it for a couple of weeks until that really sort of creeps in. And ultimately, if Kawhi leaves, you know what? The Raptors did what they set out to do with him. And he will always be a hero in Toronto. He will never sort of, I think people will view him very fondly if he goes to the Clippers or whatever else. But I do think there's a very real chance he stays. The Raptors made an excellent case to him. You know, they really sort of prioritized his health, which he's talked about, you know, even as recently as this finals in relation to Kevin Durant, how important his health is to him and how important it is that he has trust with the coaching staff and a medical staff. And I think he really found that in Toronto. And so I'm not really to make a prediction or anything like that. I think he's going to stick around at least for a short-term deal, I guess, would be the most likely outcome. But if he leaves, no one in Toronto is going to be upset because the Raptors are champions and you can never take that away.
Sean Woodley of Raptors HQ, the SB Nation Network as well. He has his own podcast, Locked on Raptors. You can follow him at Woodley Sean on Twitter. And Sean, I'm with you. I'm a St. Louis Blues fan. So people keep talking about thank you. That's why it's just weird because the Blues and the Raptors, it sort of felt like a similar situation. The underdog trying to get that first championship, and people are talking about their coach Craig Berube and their goaltender. Can they keep this up? And my answer is, I don't care. Yeah. You build them a statue whether they win another game or not, and that's sort of what you're looking at with Kawhi, whether he stays or not. You build him a statue. But I have to ask you this. Basketball in Canada. Is this a golden age for basketball? You're seeing so many more players in the NBA, and how much does this mean? How much does this championship mean for the sport in that country?
I mean, you've seen the pictures. You've seen the video of just like the nationwide response to the Raptors. I mean, last night, so I don't know how familiar you are with the CFL, but the Canadian Football League is a big deal up here. And in particular, it's huge in Regina, Saskatchewan. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders are like the most popular team in the country. It's crazy. And their fans drive like 10 hours to go to their games. It's like a province-wide team. Last night, they played their season opener in my hometown of Hamilton, an hour west of Toronto, and their stadium was filled to the brim with people watching the Raptors and being excited about the Raptors while the Rough Riders are playing their season opener. And that is something I never thought I would see. That is something that shocked me when I saw it, but that sort of speaks to how the Raptors have very much put basketball in a wave here, and maybe it'll dissipate. Maybe a lot of it's just like being a part of a champion and you're really sort of getting on with the run, and that's fine. If there are bandwagoners who jump off because, you know, they're not going to win a title next year or whatever, that's fine. I'm glad everyone enjoyed it. But like it's, you know, in Canada, it's such a diverse sort of, you know, demographic as well. Toronto's like more than 50% made up of people from outside of Canada. And, you know, basketball is a way more accessible sport, you know, financially than hockey is. Hockey is so unbelievably pricey to play, and it's getting worse and worse every year. Basketball, you need a ball and a court, and there are courts everywhere. And that sort of led to, I think, a real uprise, particularly around Toronto when it comes to basketball players. And you're going to see it. The NBA draft this year, RJ Barrett's going to go in the top three. You're going to see, I think, probably like 7 or 8, maybe as many as 10 Canadians drafted in the 2 rounds in the draft in a couple of weeks. Like, that is really, really special and remarkable, and all sort of has to do with what the Raptors have done over the last 25 years here, dating back to Vince Carter. And I can only imagine that this title run is going to inspire a whole new wave of Canadian basketball players that are hopefully better at basketball than Andrew Wiggins.
There are a lot of Timberwolves fans in the area here, so I think that was a little bit of a sore subject, but also hilarious. Sean, what do we know about...
It's sore for me too, man. I'm a Canadian national team fan. It's a real bummer that Andrew Wiggins is not a little bit better.
I had such high hopes for that guy. What do we know about the Masai Ujiri incident with the police officer inside Oracle Arena?
I don't know. I think it's probably something where Masai... It's probably a very touchy subject, and something the police and relationship with people of color, we know what that's all about too. I suspect there's something to do with that. It sounds like a cop being pretty upset that he didn't know who Masai Ujiri was and kind of getting, you know, found on the spot with that and just like not being aware of who he's like doing security over. I hope this leads to nothing. I hope Masai ends up, you know, not getting charged or anything like that, because it seems pretty ridiculous to like hold a guy back who's very clearly the architect of the team, not exactly like an unrecognizable face or guy. For that to be a thing that happens in the heat of the moment when the Raptors are like celebrating a title, come on. I mean, it feels like a bit of a stretch from whatever the sheriff's deputy who got shoved a couple times by Masai Ujiri. Like, just like read the play, man.
Sean Woodley of Raptors HQ, one more before we let you go. 20 years from now, how are you going to remember this team? What is going to be the defining quality of this team in this run?
This team just never died. They faced so many different, you know, points where they could have crumbled. You know, they were down 2-1 to Philly. They were down 2-0 to Milwaukee. They lost that game two that where they maybe should have won against the Warriors. You know, there was a lot of times where you looked at this team and said, hey, maybe this is just where the run ends. But they kept, like, they kind of, like, took on the identity of Kawhi Leonard a little bit and just sort of nothing fazed them. They bounced back every single time, and that's what I'm going to remember. They were just the most resilient team ever, and also just a very unique run. Most teams aren't built like this. There were no top 10 picks on this roster. A lot of second-round guys, a lot of journeyman guys, a lot of guys who had been, like, owned by the Warriors in the West before coming East to fly their trade together. Just like a – sort of a lot like that Mavericks team of 2011, right? Just a lot of guys who came together in a really special one-season run. And honestly, you know, a dynasty would be nice, but this one season feels like it almost might be more special. It feels like there's almost like a Canadian exchange rate going for this title. It feels like it's almost like a little bit more than one title, just because of how unlikely it was and how sort of quickly it all came together and how special the run was, considering what they did against Milwaukee and Philly. So yeah, it's just an awesome, awesome experience top to bottom. I'll remember it for the rest of my life. It's the coolest thing I've ever been a part of. I'm so glad I've gotten to cover a little bit, and it's been an absolute blast.
Are you going to go to the parade?
Absolutely. Being a freelancer, I can make my own schedule. So, Monday is wide open for me to go to the parade.
we'll enjoy the parade. I'm heading down to St. Louis for the parade on Saturday. It's a celebratory time in the sports world. We'll enjoy the rest of the party, and thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome. And if you guys don't mind, I wrote a book that published last night as the Raptors – ended up winning, like, pretty much as soon as the last buzzer went. It's called We the Champs with myself and Alex Wong, who's a fantastic writer. And if people are interested in Nick Nurse, there's a big profile of Nick Nurse in that book, We the Champs. It's available on Indigo, Amazon, and Triumph Books. Sorry to squeeze in the plug there, but I've been told to plug it as much as I possibly can.
No problem. We'll share it on our Facebook and Twitter pages as well. Thank you so much, Sean.
Thanks a lot, guys.
At Woodley Sean on Twitter. What a world we live in right now, where they're celebrating a basketball championship in Canada and we're celebrating a hockey championship in Middle America. Sports are amazing.
Crazy.
Sports are amazing. But an unbelievable run by a team that so many people, I mean, what were the preseason odds for the Toronto Raptors to win a championship? It was a foregone conclusion. The Warriors are going to win a championship. Injuries clearly played a factor, but you can't take away from the fact that Toronto didn't get injured. Toronto was the more durable team and the more well-rounded team, and they proved to be the better team in this series.
Yeah, and that's very true. What you just said about the Raptors being a better team, but what I think is very interesting, the point that he made there at the end of the interview, the parallel between Kawhi and his health. This is a point that you made yesterday, by the way. Kawhi and his health, as opposed to Kevin Durant and his health. And, you know, Kawhi, the Spurs tried to rush Kawhi back last year, and he didn't like that. And in fact, it's a big reason why he left. We saw exactly why he was upset about that when we see Kevin Durant get rushed back and go, you know, have what happened to him. I think that is very interesting to hear Sean say that that's very important to Kawhi. Maybe another reason why he would stay is that he knows he's got trusted doctors around him. He's in a very comfortable environment.
Think about this for a second. I think everyone out there's had an injury. What was your worst injury? Oh my gosh, you have had several. You've broken your neck twice, right?
Okay, yeah. My worst sports injury was an ankle, if we want to get into all the other stuff.
Okay, but you've had several injuries.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into that. Let me ask you something. If you were doing rehab and your body is consistently telling you this is not working, I am being rushed back, I am hurt, and somebody's telling you, no, you're not hurt, you're good, just trust me, just trust me, and your body is telling you, I'm hurt, I am not okay, and this is not working. Think about how frustrating that would be.
It reminds me a lot of when Ricky Bobby was paralyzed after his awful accident on the track, and his doctor was trying to tell him, Ricky, you're not paralyzed, but Ricky knew he was. He wasn't ready.
I hate you so much sometimes. What we need to do right now, we need to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one and send you on to hour number two. Plenty more to get to. Jack Dom, Mount Mercy baseball coach, will join us at 5:30. More on the way after this.
Your first place Minnesota Twins are on display at Target Field.
He got it! Strike three, swinging on a fastball.
You've got Jake Odorizzi dealing an American League leading ERA.
Swung on a miss and got him. Nice job, Odorizzi.
With a new hero every night.
Here comes the boomstick running third. He will score. Twins lead 6-5.
The defending World Series champion Boston Red Sox make their only trip to Target Field June 17th through 19th. Reserve your tickets now at twinsbaseball.com.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports. You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
Who would have thought? Who would have guessed? An energy company helping cars emit less. making cars lighter is a good place to start. Advanced oils for those hard-working parts. Fuels that go further so drivers pump less. At ExxonMobil, it's what we do best. Efficiency is our driving ambition. It's full speed ahead to produce fewer emissions. Explore more about unexpected energy sources at energyfactor.com. Energy lives here.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Father's Day sale at Ace. Hurry in and save hundreds on Dad's favorite brands like Milwaukee, DeWalt, Craftsman, Traeger, and Yeti. Plus, Ace has an extensive lineup of steel outdoor power tools, so you can be sure to find something you'll love. And save time when you buy online and pick up in store. Make this Father's Day one that Dad will always remember with great gifts from the best brands. All at your local Ace. Offers valid on select items at participating stores through June 17th. See store for details.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program. It's simple. You choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right. The best part? It's all free. Our tools even come with operating instructions, so you'll know exactly how to use them. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right, now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your Guy Smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips, you choose the cut, we cut the weight.
I've been around a long time, seeing a lot of gadgets show up that are supposed to make my job easier. Digital screwdrivers, hammer 2.0, the new improved nail, now with more pointiness. You know what really makes my job easier? Grainger. Easy reordering, easy inventory solutions, and easy to do business with every time. Gadgets come and go. You want reliability. You want Grainger. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Team number two in town as Joe Mauer weekend kicks off. The Royals begin a three-game series at Target Field on Friday. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
4:55. We come back to wrap up hour number one. I want to thank Sean Woodley of Locked On Raptors for joining us, the Locked On Raptors podcast. As he mentioned, his book that was just published, We the Champs, right?
That's right.
Remembering the Toronto Raptors' first championship season in franchise history. And I'm sure for any of those folks out there that want to talk about one of the most decorated head coaches to ever come out of the state of Iowa, Nick Nurse, there is a section in there. So you can go to our website at kgymradio.com to vote in the Emil's Hideaway poll question. Who wins the U.S. Open going on at Pebble Beach right now? Justin Rose, Brooks Koepka, Francesco Molinari, Ricky Fowler, Tiger Woods, or other. You still have about 2 hours to vote in that poll question. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL in hour number two, and mainly the fact that the New York Jets were considering bringing in Todd McShay, the ESPN draft analyst, to join their front office. And then at 5:30, Jack Dom will will join us for Touching All the Bases, his weekly segment. Love It or Leave It will be at 6 o'clock. And then we're going to round things out with the fact, with everyone's favorite topic, how the NBA will run the offseason. How the NBA is going to dominate headlines during the summer and what other sports can do to change that. Like, give us something, right? The fact that baseball can't even give us headlines during their own season. Does anybody ever think about that?
Nobody has more a better piece of prime real estate than baseball. There is nothing going on from here through September. When does college football officially start?
Late August, early September.
They've got to be able to do something with that. You've got 3 months to yourself.
And they do nothing with it.
And yeah, you're totally right.
If they did a little something with it, I feel like fans would be happy. But they do nothing with it.
Tell me if I'm wrong on this. The Major League All-Star Game is when they do the Jimmy V Foundation stuff, is it not?
On ESPN?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because ESPN doesn't...
It's the day after the All-Star Game, I believe.
Yeah. They don't even... I don't know. The All-Star Game is just an afterthought. Nobody even pays attention to it. It is literally designated to pay attention to something else.
The Masai Ujiri story and his altercation with a police officer is... There are some new details. Apparently, the police officer initiated the contact. There was no strike to the face, according to a witness, but there was a very, very hard shove coming from the general manager of the Raptors to the police officer. So we'll keep an eye out on what comes of that situation. I just hope that doesn't become a thing. I really do. I don't want that to become a thing.
That'd be pretty crappy.
Kyle, once an hour, we'll give you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. If you're planning on a home remodel or upgrading the windows in your home, check out the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. Answers by Alexander will help you choose the deck that's right for your outdoor space and your budget. They have two locations in Iowa City. Our podcast will be available following the conclusion of the show at KGYMRadio.com. Once again, I told you the Emil's Hideaway poll question is available. The U.S. Open going on. Is Justin Rose still in the lead at 7-under? We'll get you an update on... I feel like we've neglected a little bit what's going on at Pebble Beach. We will keep you updated with what's going on at the U.S. Open. I believe Justin Rose is still at the top of the leaderboard. Jackson Parker, our associate producer, will be joining us on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on the other side of the glass here shortly, and we're going to have another chance for you to win a Freedom Festival prize pack. All of that and more is coming up in hour number two. We'll talk about the New York Jets and a very interesting almost hire that they had after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Doug Brown. The county sheriff's office in Oakland is investigating Raptors president Masai Ujiri for suspicion of misdemeanor battery on a police officer. The incident occurred as Ujiri tried to join his team on the floor during last night's title celebration. As for the Warriors, what will their next moves be? Klay Thompson with a torn ACL, Kevin Durant with a torn Achilles. ESPN's Brian Windhorst.
Their first call would be to Klay, because the most important thing for them is to lock down the Splash Brothers. Even if they have to retrofit, you'd have two Hall of Famers in their prime going forward.
Brian Windhorst also said on First Take the Warriors plan to offer both Thompson and Kevin Durant max contracts. Second round of the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Justin Rose right now the leader at 7-under. Louis Oosthuizen one shot back at 6-under. Tiger Woods now back at even par. Bruins captain Zdeno Chara confirms today he did have a broken jaw in the Stanley Cup final. His jaw is now held together by screws, wiring, and two plates.
Coming up Monday, the Raptors have the Larry OB, which means free agency. You're up. We're in for a wild ride. Plus, recapping the U.S. Open, a Women's World Cup update, and who won the weekend.
Plus, coaches we want to party with.
That and more Monday on Golic and Wingo. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 3.
How do you after work? How about 20 beers on tap, a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating, and happy hour from 3 to 6? Yeah, that's the way you after work at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion. It's the place to go with the guys, catch some sports, blow off steam with darts or a game of pool, and take a load off. Hey, you gotta go to work, but when you clock out, it's time for after work. After work at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
Twins and the Mariners, a very quick turnaround after a lengthy and sloppy extra-inning loss on Wednesday night. A beautiful day game to decide the series on Thursday. Michael Pineda for the Twins and Yusei Kikuchi opposing for the Mariners. And the Twins took the first lead in a Nelson Cruz homer in the third, led 1-0 until the Mariners tied things up in the sixth with Pineda out. Ryan Harper came in, allowed a two-out RBI single to Dan Vogelbach. That scored Kyle Seager. It was a 1-1 game in the sixth, but it did not stay that way for too long. Bottom six, and that's when the Twins went to work against a very poor Mariner bullpen. It began with that dreaded leadoff walk after Eddie Adrianza singled. A run scored on a throwing error by the pitcher, and that allowed Kepler to score. And then Castro Fielder's Choice RBI scored Adrianza, and the Twins had a 3-1 lead. Later, with one out, Nelson Cruz added on.
And the pitch. Ground ball. Got to sneak through to left field and one in. Here Castro touches home plate. No play on Buxton as he crosses home plate. So it's a base hit, two RBIs. And now like that, the Twins open it up 5-1. That was just a C&I single.
And the Twins were far from done. In fact, in that same inning, Max Kepler capped it off with a two-out, two-run single. The Twins batted 11, scored 6 runs, and blew this game open. Yes, they would add 3 more in the 7th on a Polanco RBI single and a Crone 2-run homer. The Mariners made some noise late. Fernando Romero back up from AAA struggled. Faced 4 batters, did not retire any of them. Matt McGill threw nearly 50 pitches. So a kind of a sloppy long end of the game, but in the end, a winning day. Twins win by a score of 10-5. Big day for the bats, 10 runs on 14 hits. Home runs from Crone is 15th, and Cruz is 12th. Michael Pineda took a no decision, pitched well, 5 2/3 innings with a run on only 2 hits and struck out 4. The win went to rookie Ryan Harper, who's now 2-0 on the year. Also, won't show up in the box score, but Eddie Adrianza had a wonderful game. Starting at third base, he was on base 3 times. He had 3 hits. He ran the bases well, played good defense. Adrianza, since early May, is batting over .400, and we saw that skill set on display in the 10-5 victory over the Mariners on Thursday. Twins now 45-22. They stay home. Big weekend. Joe Mauer festivities kick off really on Friday night. The Royals in town for 3. Kyle Gibson goes for the Twins in Game 1, first pitch at 7:10 on Friday. But the final from Thursday, Twins 10, Mariners 5. From Target Field, Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
See, Kyle, I used to really get upset with those people on Twitter that would change their avatar and change their profile picture and change their name to like an Adam Schefter and Adrian Wojnarowski, like have a fake account and break news, because it was sometimes you're on Twitter, you run the risk, if you don't see that blue check mark, of retweeting somebody that is is not and the actual person you think you're retweeting. But I mentioned this person yesterday. His name's Barry, Sports Talk Barry, on Twitter. And he changes his profile picture to Adrian Wojnarowski. He changes his name to Adrian Wojnarowski and puts out these reports that some people sometimes retweet. But these are so absolutely onion-like ridiculous that I just cannot believe that people retweet them. And if you do, I don't have sympathy for you. If you get fooled by one of these retweets, like the last one that apparently he was posing as Adrian Wojnarowski and said that Clay Thompson had died.
Awful news to report.
Yeah, no,
sources
no.
Confirmed.
I'm sorry. I 225 retweets. You have got to check for the blue check mark. So stay woke out there.
He will miss the upcoming season.
Check for the blue check mark. Making jokes about death is always a little bit of a sticky subject, but it's so ridiculous. In this case, I'll allow it. I will allow it. The other thing that annoys me, are these people that are trying to speculate about where Kawhi Leonard is going to end up next. Not necessarily the people that are trying to speculate, but the people that act as though they have some sort of inside knowledge as to where he's going to go next or what he's going to do. How long has Kawhi been in the league?
Eight years.
I was
going to
say
like
8 years. What do we know about Kawhi?
Not much.
We know nothing about Kawhi Leonard. Why the hell would he tell anybody where he's going to go next? Why would anybody? Nobody knows where he's going to go. There's nothing. This isn't LeBron James. This isn't Kobe Bryant where he has people and word gets out. No, this is Kawhi Leonard. Just everybody come out and admit we have no idea where he's going to play next season.
Kawhi, of all people, that's true. But I'm pretty sure this is pretty true for, you know, any speculation you hear mid-season and still probably a lot of it that you hear in the off-season. Because, you know, just look back. Paul George was, you know, by all reports, forcing his way to the Lakers. He ends up with OKC, re-signed with OKC. Last year, we already did this once with Kawhi. Kawhi's forcing his way to the Lakers. Well, he might stay in Toronto. So, nothing you ever hear, especially mid-season, is usually too dependable.
Let's get to the story about Joe Douglas, the new general manager of the New York Jets. He was pondering the thought of bringing in Todd McShay as a very high up person in the front office. We discussed this in hour number one. I think it's fascinating in sports right now where you're seeing a lot of teams going toward, in any sport, in baseball and football and basketball, you're going more towards the analytics driven, smart people running sports. And a lot of times those types of teams are going to win. You look at the Toronto Raptors and their head coach, Nick Nurse, Carroll, Iowa native. How many times have you heard people say, well, he doesn't have that head coach intensity. He doesn't have that head coaching background, but what is he? He's smart. He stays out in front of things. I asked him about this when he was hired by the Toronto Raptors as their head coach. How important is it to stay out in front of all of the changes that are happening in the NBA? He said it was the most important thing he could do as a head coach. See, those are the types of coaches we're seeing and front office people that we're seeing being hired at a rapid rate because you make a lot of money in sports. Sports is where, unfortunately, it would be very nice if these people would have more incentive to, I don't know, be a part of an industry that would be somewhat more important than sports, but that's not the point. That's what you're seeing. But there's this other thing that's going on now with these organizations, and you know which organizations I'm talking about. The Oakland Raiders, the New York Giants, the Chicago Bulls, the New York Jets, where there's this idea that they have to do everything the exact opposite of every other team because they know how to run things and nobody else does. This whole young people, smart guy, numbers thing, that's a phase. That's going to phase out and we know how to run a team. So you get the New York Jets and Joe Douglas talking about hiring Todd McShay. Somebody, can I tell you what Todd McShay's highest ever job within the football industry has been? Can I give you this?
Would you please?
He was an equipment manager for the Richmond Spiders, his alma mater.
Comes with a lot of experience.
Do you not see what's going on in Oakland? Do you not see what's going on with the Chicago Bulls? Do you not see what's going on with the New York Giants? Is there a franchise in sports right now where this is working? Where this idea of going against the grain, avoiding the infiltration of numbers and analytics in sports is working? Is there an example of it? No, there's not. I'll wait for one. 319-366-1600. Help me out. Is there? No, there's not one. I'll spare you. I'll spare you the search. For the New York Jets and their new GM to not only think about hiring a guy with no experience whatsoever, a guy whose best skill set is his ability to speak about the draft. Here, you know what? Let's do it right now. Kyle, please give us some of your favorite Todd McShay takes from over the years. How many do you have here?
Oh my!
You did some research, and
we can do that. We can do it in a couple different chunks. Because if I read all these right in a row, it would end up sounding like, you know, it would just be a lot of me talking, rattling stuff off. But there's been plenty, and that's why I think it's weird that, you know, I don't know if Todd McShay has a scouting team of his own or if he does all this himself or what, but For the Jets to want to hire a guy who has been such a public scout, you know, he doesn't just scout. He scouts and publishes. He goes on television. He publishes stories all the time. This guy's observations and the players that he has chosen to value, it's very public. And I know he's in a tough job. It's hard to be right all the time about draft prospects. But what I'm going to tell you is McShay has been wrong a lot. Well, and the Jets know that very well by just a little bit of research.
Well, we'll get into some of his famous takes, but what you said there is that, yeah, it's very difficult to get a lot of these evaluations right. That's true, right? That's a very true statement.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't get it, what happens if he doesn't get an evaluation right for ESPN? We maybe make fun of him. Most of the time, people don't notice because the only time that we get draft breakdowns and draft grades is the day after the draft. How many times you go back and say, man, Todd McShay back in 2013 said that? It happens occasionally, but not all that often. So the worst thing that can happen to him, the worst thing that can happen to Mike Mayock on NFL Network is we make fun of him. What happens when he gets that wrong for the Oakland Raiders, and you draft Cleveland Farrell number 4 overall? What happens with Todd McShay when you get this type of thing wrong with the New York Jets? Do the fans say, oh, well, scouting's pretty difficult. We're going to give him a pass. You can't get all of these, right? No, your team sucks.
Right, okay. If McShay, let's pretend that, you know, maybe it's going to be the Jets. Well, I guess it's not going to be the Jets this time. But let's pretend that McShay does hold a real NFL job. And let's go back. Let's rewind. Let's see. What year was it? In 2008, the Lions, I believe. Was it 2008? The Lions went 0-16.
Yeah, they drafted. They draft Matthew Stafford the year after that. Okay.
Stafford has done a lot to help that franchise.
Matthew Stafford is one of the more underappreciated quarterbacks in the NFL.
Pretty much single-handedly has made that franchise not a laughing stock.
I've said this multiple times, and I know this is a sidebar. I've said this multiple times that any quarterback that goes into a situation like that and elevates the team and has longevity in the league, I have so much respect for, because most of the time those guys don't, because they're in losing situations. They have no chance from the outset, but continue.
Do you think the Lions would be in the same position they are today if they had followed Todd McShay's advice and taken Mark Sanchez off of an 0-16 season instead of Matthew Stafford? Not so much.
What did he have to say about Mark Sanchez?
Mark Sanchez, actually, I would have to pull up the list again, but in all McShay's years of scouting, Mark Sanchez is like the fifth or sixth highest graded quarterback he's ever had.
Oh, so he's one of the. This is the greatest quarterback I've ever scouted. The intangibles are off the charts. Sorry. Continue.
He was pretty bad. We've also got, you know, in 2008, he said that, quote, Brian, you might not even, well, you will, but a lot of people out there might not even remember this name, Brian Brome.
Brian Brome, Jeff Brom's brother.
He was actually drafted as a third stringer for the Packers out of Louisville.
I remember him. He was very good for Bobby Petrino for a year, and there was some discussion as to whether or not he would be a top-level draft pick. He didn't have a great final year at Louisville, and he fell in the draft. I remember being high on him, but I was also like, Well, 12.
At least one other person was high on him. That was one Todd McShay, who said Brian Brohm's upside is greater than that of Aaron Rodgers.
Is that the worst? Please tell me that's the worst one. Please tell me that
that
Todd McShay doesn't have a Skip Bayless-like record of saying things like Johnny Manziel is going to be more important to Cleveland sports history than LeBron James ever was. Or that Manti Te'o is the next Ray Lewis. Tell me that there's not one worse than that one. Please.
That's pretty bad. The Brian Brohm better than Aaron Rodgers is probably the worst. But I also think if you just think about, I thought this was a pretty easy decision at the time. But I now, you know, there's a famous magazine cover that was pitting Cam Newton or Blaine Gabbert.
Newton, Blaine Gabbert, Jake Locker, too, right?
I'll give you one guess who McShay liked the most out of that group.
I'm just going to guess that it wasn't Cam Newton.
No, it was Blaine Gabbert. Some of his more recent ones, he had Baker Mayfield ranked as the fourth of the big four quarterbacks behind Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen. The book's kind of out on the rest of those guys.
We'll wait on that one. I think it's going to end up being another one, but I'll give that time.
And Mitch Trubisky, he chose over Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, who, again, the book's kind of out, but
I'll give that. I'll wait.
Mahomes and Deshaun Watson? I don't know. Josh Dobbs in 2017. Remember Josh Dobbs out of Tennessee?
The fact that
possible first rounder.
I remember that.
Remember Mitch Leidner from Minnesota?
Oh, no.
Possible first rounder. Connor Cook, possible first rounder. And here's a really bad one. You remember Ryan Nassib?
Yes, I do.
He was ranked as McShay's eighth overall prospect.
I remember that. Okay, so now that I can attribute Todd McShay to all of that, who was the first one? It was the first one that stood out to me, not right before Mitch Leidner, which is really that guy could not throw the football out of his own shadow.
Mark Sanchez.
No, it was
Cam. Brian Brohm.
So you had Mitch Leidner as a possible. Oh, Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs. I remember that. I remember him saying that Josh Dobbs was a guy that could slide into the late first round. And I know this tweet is out there. If you want to search this tweet right now, I tweeted about this. And I said, Josh Dobbs being a first round pick is the most laughable thing that I have ever heard. See, I feel like he falls into this trap all the time with quarterbacks, especially, that the physical numbers, the size and the stature are so important. And you get these guys who can't throw a football. Remember, like Blake Bortles? Oh, well, he can run really well, and he's big and he's strong, but he can't throw the football. Josh Dobbs cannot throw a football. Ryan Nassib was not good. He had no touch. He could not throw a football. Mitch Leidner. Do you remember him playing Iowa?
Yeah. He did not, and this is similar to Blaine Gabbert, because Iowa, you know, a lot of the names we just rattled off, Iowa has run into in one way or another. The guys did not wow you, and if you're not being,
they were bad.
See Daniel Jones out of Duke. If the guys are not wowing you in any way at all out of college, they're probably not going to be all that good in the pros.
Chad on the text line brings up a very good point. Those guys all look smart because when you say enough things, you're bound to be right a few times. Chad, you get yourself a ding because that is the point I am getting at. You ever notice when those guys are on TV or on the radio, you ask them, which prospect are you really high on? Or you ask them about a certain prospect and they'll only tell you the things that they like about the prospect every once in a while. They'll give you the negatives, but this is a guy who deserves to be in the first round. I know Todd McShay was really high on Darnell Savage, the Green Bay Packers pick, who they traded back up in the first round to get out of Maryland. But do you ever notice that when you ask one of those guys, which one of these prospects that people are high on do you think is going to be a bust? They never have an answer for you. They're not comfortable saying that. They're not comfortable going out on a limb, and they have 300 guys who they say are first round picks. or maybe 100. It's probably not 300, but it's about 100 guy. Oh, this guy, I got a first-round grade on this guy. First-round grade on this guy. And when you're on TV, you look smart because you say enough guys, you throw enough noodles against the wall.
Noodles?
Is that not the right? You throw enough feces against the wall, hey, it's going to stick. But when you're actually in the position where you have to make a decision, you're, let's just say the grading is a little tougher. You are, if you miss on one, those guys miss on dozens a year, every single year.
And it,
they say that somebody is going to be good and they turn out not to be good every year. You do that every other year in the NFL, and you're going to get fired.
Well, and some of the things that we just rattled off, like you're outlining, when you're Todd McShay on television saying that you like, you know, Blaine Gabbert more than Cam Newton, or that Josh Dobbs is you would think of him in the first round, you can say that on TV, and there are no repercussions for that. But if you were to poll that in the NFL, in a real NFL position,
not only would you get fired, you would be a flat out.
Yeah.
Your name would always be remembered for that.
Exactly. You would be fired. Well, let's just imagine that he was in a position to draft Blaine Gabbert first overall instead of Cam Newton. When Blaine Gabbert's contract is up in 4 or 5 years and Cam Newton's already got an MVP under his belt, Todd McShay is fired and forever remembered as the guy who passed on Cam Newton.
Mike from Marengo on the text line. All this talk about throwing a football reminds me of sexy Rex Grossman.
Sexy Rex.
And somehow he made it to the playoffs. The Super Bowl. The Bears made it to the Super Bowl.
My Bears fans out there will remember I don't know why this is etched in my mind, but it really is. It happened multiple times throughout that magical season where sexy Rex just guns it down the sideline, so much air under it. And you remember Bernard Berrian? He turned his one or two good years with the Bears into a huge deal with the Vikings and sucked. But Bernard Berrian had a way of diving and getting 100% parallel with the ground.
Yeah.
It was awesome. They hooked up for that a lot. It was fun.
And how many kick returns for touchdowns were there that year and punt returns for touchdowns?
Dude, a lot. I still the game in out in San Francisco with all the wind.
Devin Hester and the defense took a team to a 13-3 record.
Yeah. And I guess it's hard to say, but I'm pretty sure a team built that way would have no chance in today's NFL.
Okay, 6369, thank you for this text. The Seattle Seahawks built a Super Bowl champion out of picks that McShay and Kiper hated. That's true. See, it's getting to the point with those guys where you're seeing teams like Seattle. The Patriots have kind of always been this way, but teams that think outside the box and basically, they have their own vision for what they want their players to be. Seattle's a perfect example of this. They have their own vision for what they want. They go out, they take it, they're successful, and you're getting the pushback a little bit from the fans. For example, when Seattle drafts Rashad Penny in the first round, or the kid out of TCU this year in the first round, yeah, there are some people that sit back and say, that was a terrible pick.
I didn't like
McShay or Kiper had him way down. But this year, when they draft the defensive end, the kid name escapes me out of TCU, I feel like most people just said, yeah, he's a little bit lower on McShay and Kuiper's board, but who do we trust at this point,
yeah.
John Schneider or Todd McShay?
You get a little equity when you perform in the draft as they have.
319-366-1600. Thanks for all the interaction on the Hurtine and Stocker text line. Keep those texts coming.
The good news for McShay is he pulled his name out of the running. And I think he must have done that. He probably realized the Jets are the type of team that would hire a TV analyst.
So what you're saying is he doesn't want to actually have that job.
I don't think, and that's another... No, I don't. He probably used this whole thing just for contract negotiations, which just another way that the Jets are just kind of a joke. They're used as a pawn in the sports media world.
Could you imagine Adrian Wojnarowski being like the GM of the Brooklyn Nets?
No.
Can we make this happen? He'd be like the perfect guy to have because he could get you intel on the rest of the league.
Here's the thing. Especially you look at a team like the Bulls or something, this is going to sound, I know how it's going to sound, but I honestly think Adrian Wojnarowski could probably run the Bulls better than they're being run. Yeah, he probably could.
It's true.
So could I.
The Raiders?
Jackson, do you want to run the Bulls?
Like the Raiders, you think the Raiders are another franchise where...
Yeah,
I honestly have these thoughts about just the way that they've drafted the last couple years and the moves that they're making.
It really makes you wonder. Clelin Ferrell, fourth overall.
Colton Miller, 14th overall.
Trade down. Like, are you dumb? He's not going to go that high. Trade down, get a few more assets, take him at 10 if you want. That's still a reach.
Benjamin Albright came on our show the next day and said that he believes that Clelin Ferrell would have been available in the second round.
Fourth overall.
309-366-1600. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, is going to join us in just a few minutes for Touching All the Bases. Love It or Leave It coming up at 6 o'clock. You can visit our website right now, kgymradio.com. For our Emil's Hideaway poll question, and it's very simple, who wins the U.S. Open? Is it the leader Justin Rose, Brooks Koepka, Francesco Molinari, Ricky Fowler, Tiger Woods, or somebody else? And you have, we'll call it an hour and a half left in your work week to vote on that question. Mike from Marengo, thank you. Thank you for keeping me on my toes. Alex, your mom could run the Raiders better than they're being run right now. I agree.
He said your mom, though, dude.
It's fine.
He said your mom.
My mom's she's a nice lady. You dropped a Ricky Bobby quote earlier, so... I have to just sort of let this one roll off my back like I let that one roll off my back. We are way overdue for a break. An Alexander Lumber Big Board update, and Jack Dom is next.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. DePaco members, whether young or oldish, can earn. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared millions of dollars in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco and earn thank yous for doing so. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer? All the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
With a great deal of American pride, Buffalo Wild Wings announces a great deal on American beer just in time for soccer. Budweiser and Bud Light Talls are now just $3. May the soccer gods bless America as our women dominate the field. Ask not what your country can do for you, ask how fast you can get some $3 talls for your country. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
At participating locations, dine-in only. Hours and availability may vary by location. Other limitations may apply where required by law. Must be 21 plus. Void where prohibited. Some locations may only offer this promotion on U.S. match days.
If you build it, he will come.
This Father's Day, join the Colonels for Field of Dreams Day at the ballpark. The first 1,000 fans will receive a souvenir baseball. And fans can meet Dwyer Brown, who played John Kinsella in the movie. All kids 12 and under eat free every Sunday thanks to Western Fraternal Life. All fans are welcome to enjoy a game of catch in the outfield and run the bases as part of Prairie Farms Run the Bases Sunday after the game. Get tickets at Colonels.com.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, Have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Team number two in town as Joe Mauer weekend kicks off. The Royals begin a three-game series at Target Field on Friday. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
5:30, welcome back to the KGYM studio. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Alex Kuhn, Kyle Mann, Jackson Parker, who is going to be getting Jack Dom on the phone here momentarily. Nancy and Marion, congratulations. She was the winner of our $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub. Before we get Jack on the line, we need to get you another big board update, and it's brought to you by Alexander Lumber with a brand new facility that is opening up very shortly. You can still find them in their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
The Raptors won Canada's first NBA championship last night, which is all well and good, but we all now need to recognize Nick Nurse as an all-time Iowa sports figure. Born in Carroll, Iowa, Nurse became UNI's most efficient three-point shooter in program history in the mid-80s at 47% before beginning his coaching career as an assistant under Eldon Miller. He's then spent nearly 30 years coaching overseas and in the G League before now becoming an NBA champion in his first season as a head coach. Next up on the NBA schedule, even before free agency officially begins, is the draft, which takes place in less than a week already. That's next Thursday. Iowa State's Talon Horton Tucker is the local guy who's got a real chance to sneak into the first round, according to an aggregate big board from HoopsHype.com, which basically functions similar to the 24/7 sports composite rankings that combines a handful of top scouting outlets into one list. Horton Tucker's the 36th prospect, while Iowa's Tyler Cook is 60th, and former Cyclone Lindell Wigginton isn't even ranked by enough outlets to make the 78-man list. The Colonels were shut out last night going for a sweep of Wisconsin, and they now trail Burlington by two games for a wild card spot with only a three-game weekend series remaining against Clinton this weekend. That series is right here in town, so you can be there as they try to sneak into the playoffs beginning tonight at 6:30, and that's going to be a Z102.9 Mug Club night. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins and Royals on the North Gym. We're going to have that series through the end, the end of that series tomorrow, and the beginning of another hosting Boston on Sunday. We're also going to have the Cubs and Dodgers tomorrow evening on the South and Main Gyms.
A little bit of baseball talk now to cleanse the palate. We've had plenty of NBA Finals reaction as well as some NFL discussion about the ineptitude of the New York Jets. But Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, joins us now, as he does every Friday, for Touching All the Bases. And Jack, what's going on?
Not too much. Just actually at the Regina Golf outing right now. So just got done with that. So over at Pleasant Valley. So nice day to play a little golf.
The Cubs and the Dodgers squaring off. I know there's a lot of discussion now. We've had some baseball writers joining us wondering what the tiers are. Who's in the elite tier? Is this sort of a barometer right now for where the Cubs are at?
You know what? It's hard to say that it's a barometer, but you know, you're talking about two of the best organizations in baseball over the last 4 or 5 years. So you know, it is interesting to always go out and watch these series, and you know, you look at them and basically they're 500 over the last 4 years between the Dodgers and the Cubs. So they're two of the best organizations in baseball right now, two very talented teams. And you know what, you really expect them to be playing against, probably facing off at some point in the playoffs this year. But you know, regular season is a little bit different. You can't line up your pitching. You don't know what's going to happen pitching wise. You know, when you get to the playoffs, then you line up the pitching a little bit. But you're talking about two of the best organizations in baseball, without a doubt. And it's always fun to watch those games. They're always very competitive. And, of course, the Dodgers got the better end last night.
Some comments from Theo Epstein would seem to indicate that it may be more likely than not that Ben Zobrist does eventually rejoin this team by the end of the season. And so I'm just wondering, whenever that does happen, is Ben Zobrist the type of guy who you can kind of trust to come back and not really have to shake off a whole lot of rust?
Well, you know what? At his age, he's probably going to have to shake off some rust, you know. But if he knows he's going to come back, you're talking about the pros of all pro. And so I guarantee he's doing stuff right now. If he's thinking about returning to the Cubs, he's doing stuff on his own, taking care of his family, of course, but at the same time, making sure he'll be ready to go. Because the one thing about Ben Zobrist is he never wants to let his teammates down. So if he knows he's coming back, I guarantee you right now he's hit and he's doing the things he needs to do to make sure that he can get himself ready to go, you know, in order to help the Cubs late in the year and make a playoff push. And you know what? The thing is, Ben Zobrist makes everybody better. He gives you versatility. He's a pro's pro. Every at bat, he's doing something to help the team. You know, nowadays with the launch angle, the home runs, he doesn't do that. He's the guy that's going to move the baseball. He's going to do whatever he has to do to win games. And, you know, he's the guy, as a college coach, Ben Zobrist is one of those guys that you point out saying, hey, this is the way you play the game. You do it to help your teammates, help your team win.
There's kind of, as we approach the trade deadline just a little bit, or about a month and a half away, the Cubs would appear to have kind of two needs, which was another bat off the bench, which Zobrist would appear to fill, kind of, or whether you want to consider it him or Cargo, one of them is a bat coming off the bench, and the other was, you know, more bullpen help. And they kind of addressed that with Craig Kimbrell, but do you think that they still need another, maybe a trade, one more really reliable arm out of there?
You know, I think a left-handed arm would be good for him. You know, if he can get another lefty, I think that's something that could definitely benefit him. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a lefty, but I think they would probably be looking to a guy that's experienced left-handed pitcher. You know, the Cubs have spent as much money as anybody in baseball on their bullpen. And, you know, but at the same time, I think Theo and they realize, Hoyer realized that they need some help in that bullpen to continue to be able to win a World Series. And I think they're right there, but they will make another move. And I think the bullpen's the biggest thing, and they're probably going to wait to see what happens with Zobrist. And then also see with Cargo what happens with him. If he continues to swing the bat pretty well, you know, he's a good defensive player, that's definitely a bat that can help him. So, you know, it's a long season. See how things play out. But Ben Zobrist would be a great shot in the arm for him whenever he ultimately comes back. But I think a left-handed relief pitcher would really, really help stabilize that bullpen.
Jack, the St. Louis Cardinals grace period that they were given, the two-month grace period by the St. Louis Blues, it's over. It's back to reality for John Mozeliak and the Cardinals. I think a lot of fans are looking and saying and being very frustrated by the fact that, yes, they've made some additions to their lineup, but when you look at it top to bottom, it just doesn't match up to the Cubs. It doesn't match up to the Milwaukee Brewers. They're incredibly inconsistent. I think they've had 15 games in the last 35 where they've scored less than two runs. When you look at that lineup, what do you see?
Well, I think the biggest thing you talked about is consistency. When you talked about the Cardinals for a long time, because of the way that they played the game, consistency was the number one thing you would talk about with that organization. And now they're so up and down. And by the way, it's not only like that with the Cardinals. It's like that with so many other organizations also, because everybody's trying to get the home run. So I think sometimes the Cardinals fan has to understand that's the way Major League Baseball has gone. But I think it's really, really frustrating for the Cardinals because they always had the Cardinal way and they always played such good fundamental baseball. They always had some stars, but then those role players that they did anything that they could do to help the team win. So, you know, I think that's the part that the Cardinal fans have to understand is baseball has changed, but they need to get back. They still need to get back just playing that good, solid baseball. And every time you ask me about the Cardinals, you know, they were fun to watch the first month of the year. They were back to Cardinal baseball, and they've gotten away from it right now. And so it's kind of Major League Baseball, too. And I know the Cardinal fans always look at it. But I love watching those teams. The Twins right now. Look at the Twins. They're hitting home runs, but they're also pitching. They're doing other things as an organization. And they're feeling good about themselves right now. So, you know, the Cardinals are still within range to be able to do something, but I think they definitely need to do something to the roster to try to get a little more consistent offense.
Jack, we'll get to the Twins in just a second, but I want to ask you something about a point that you just made, the home run being so thought of so highly in Major League Baseball. Everybody wants their hitters hitting 30, 40 home runs per year. When you look at a guy for the Cardinals in Jose Martinez, where I think a lot of fans are wondering, well, why don't they trade him to an American League team to be a designated hitter? Is it because he just doesn't have a ton of pop in that bat? I think about it. He's sort of a singles hitter. He's a gap-to-gap guy with no defensive versatility at all. No defensive game at all. Is that even a value anymore for an American League team?
You know what? I'll tell you what. He must be one heck of a teammate, number one. For the Cardinals to keep him, I think he must be a really good, dugout guy, locker room guy. But yeah, I think for part of it is I don't think the Cardinals want to give him up. Number two, yes, when you're looking, if you're going to make a trade for a designated hitter, because defensively he's a liability no matter where you put him. I really believe that's people, when they trade for somebody, they want to get somebody that's going to drive in the runs and hit the power. That's just the way that baseball's gone. And, so he's kind of that tweener guy. What do you do with him? And, he's still, to me, he's still an American League baseball player because of, his liability as a defensive guy. But, again, he must do something in that locker room because they really like him and they haven't given, they could have got rid of him or traded him in the offseason, but they didn't. And, I would agree with you 100%. The lack of power, he's a great hitter, but the lack of power probably doesn't make him as entertaining for some of those American League teams.
We've been keeping an eye on the Minnesota Twins here because, they're clearly a good team. They've been a good team all year, but I'm kind of starting to wonder, is it about time that we lump them in with the Astros, the Yankees, the Dodgers as a truly legitimate elite team in baseball?
Well, I think for this season, I think they're I'm a little careful when I talk about elite teams. Because I guess when I'm talking about elite teams, I'm talking about over a 3-4-5 year program, or 3-4-5 years. They are one of the better teams in baseball right now. But again, we talk about consistency. It's a long season. They're doing some tremendous, tremendous things. The excitement around that organization right now is through the roof. I think everybody in Minnesota is excited. You look at people here in Cedar Rapids, everywhere you go, people are talking about the Minnesota Twins. So to be an elite organization, not necessarily an elite organization, but yes, without a doubt, they have a chance between their power, what they're doing offensively, the pitching. And again, I always go back to this. The Twins are not afraid to make a move in the middle of the year. That's one of the things that's been frustrating, I think, for the Cardinals is the fact that they don't really make those moves in the middle of the year. The Minnesota Twins aren't bashful. They will definitely make that move.
Entering the season, one of the teams that I thought would have been comfortably in that conversation with the Yankees, the Astros, the Dodgers, the Boston Red Sox. But here we are, the middle of June. They're still third place in the AL East, barely over 500. Are we still waiting for this team to wake up, or is this what we're working with this year?
It's a little concerning now. We always talk about that World Series hangover. And so it was a little concerning. Then all of a sudden the Red Sox started playing better. And now all of a sudden they're just kind of treading water. Their bullpen's struggling. They're struggling. They're just not getting the timely hits. You're talking about an organization, a team last year that had a great two-strike approach. They didn't strike out. They came up with the timely hits. And it's just not there for them right now. They're still, they're in third place. They're still within range of being able to do something. And, you still got a half a season left. So, but I think they are probably a little bit worried. I guarantee you the fans in Boston, they're a little bit restless right now. But the scary part, it's very similar to the Cubs after they won the World Series, where, everyone talked about, okay, they got the World Series hangover, and then all of a sudden they start playing a little better. They got themselves in it. But, I think the Red Sox, what are they, 2-3 games over 500 right now? So they should definitely be panicking right now. Again, they're another organization that's not afraid to make a move. Now, here's the thing is their manager, Cora, is a great communicator. So this is where you're going to learn a lot about him. A second-year manager, he's going to continue to work him, and I expect him to play some pretty good baseball. Really what's going to happen is they're going to go over the All-Star break. A lot of their guys aren't going to go to the All-Star game. They're going to get 3-4 days off, and what you're going to see is a big push by the Red Sox after the All-Star break. That's my prediction.
Let's go back to the NL Central, and I remember there was this period in time in Major League Baseball where young, controllable arms with multiple years left on their contract were very valuable. The Cubs and their trade with Eloy Jimenez, they acquired Jose Quintana. There were a few of those trades. The Pittsburgh Pirates, when they acquired Chris Archer, it never really made a lot of sense to me. They were kind of caught in between whether they were contending or not. They traded away Tyler Glasnow and Austin Meadows, who have both been outstanding for the Tampa Bay Rays. Is it now time to label that trade an absolute disaster, a disaster for the Pittsburgh Pirates, the way that Chris Archer has played for them?
Well, I can tell you this much. It doesn't look real good right now. But at the same time, I think, you know, one of the things with, as you know, I'm real close with Jim Hendry, the former GM of the Cubs. And no matter what the trade was, he always talked to you got to look 4 or 5 years down the road. Right now, it does not look good for the Pirates. And, you know, the Rays are doing – those guys are doing great for the Rays. You would have to say that they came out way ahead, but it's only a year and a half into that trade. So, not even a year. So, Chris Archer is a very, very talented pitcher. He maybe can get this thing turned around. And yeah, it doesn't look good for him right now, but still you can't overreact. It's something that you got to look at 4 or 5 years down the road compared to looking in that first year.
Jack Down, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, joining us for just a few more minutes. Jack, are you going to have your eyes on Omaha at all as the College World Series gets underway tomorrow?
Without a doubt. I'm going to go there on Sunday. So I'm going to be there for about 2-3 days and looking forward to it. And you know, it's great. The environment around the World Series is absolutely tremendous. You know, I'm looking forward. One of the things is a legendary coach like Mike Martin. You know, for him to make it to the World Series this year is a special, special deal. He hasn't had a chance to win a national championship yet. So I'm looking forward to getting there, watching that. Want to see how Michigan does. That's great for Big Ten baseball to get another team to Omaha. That's very, very important. And, you know, Michigan had a very solid year. They were a little up and down at times. But, you know, they just got a nice, solid ball club. So I can't wait to get there and watch the games. I'm going to take my kids there. And then also a couple of our good supporters, we're going to go there. So I can't wait to watch it. And what a great environment. I would tell everybody it's a bucket list item. If you have an opportunity to go to the College World Series, you definitely need to.
See, Jack, I was going to go this weekend, but then plans change because of a certain parade that's going on in St. Louis on Saturday. So I think I'm going to go next year. But you mentioned Mike Martin, 41 years at Florida State, the run that they've made this year. I mean, the amount of Major League players, the College World Series appearances for him. How is he thought of by his peers in the coaching profession?
Oh, incredibly well respected. You know, I think, you know, I don't know if people saw this, but Mike Martin probably, when you watch the last game that they won against LSU to make it to the World Series, they had a relief pitcher that came in and threw absolutely incredible. And so Mike Martin's getting ready to go to his press conference, and he requested that relief pitcher for LSU to come out. And he wanted to compliment him and talk to him about how he competed. He was a bulldog. That's kind of Mike Martin to a T. He's a guy that's very selfless. He absolutely respects the game. He respects everybody that's playing. And, he was absolutely tremendous to me throughout my years, especially when I was at Creighton at the College World Series. And, you know, he was the one guy that hasn't won the national championship. However, he was incredibly respectful. If he won, if he lost, you know, what a legacy. He's won more games than any other coach in the history of college athletics. That's a pretty big thing. And, you know, just a class act. And you know what? I really hope that they make a nice push this year. And, What a great story it would be is if they could win a national championship in his last year, you know, because nobody expected it. You know, he was one of the last four teams to be put into the NCAA tournament, and they've gone on a tremendous role. And, of course, he's got talent. When you're at Florida State, you have talent. And now they're feeling good, and they've got confidence, and they think it's a team of destiny.
Well, Jack, enjoy the College World Series. I know you're headed there on Sunday, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Sounds good, and you enjoy that parade. That'll be a fun time. It's amazing how St. Louis has some great sports fans. It's you know, they really support those Blues, and congratulations, and glad you guys pulled it off.
I appreciate that, Jack. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, bye-bye.
5:52. Mike Martin. I hope that Florida State wins in his last year. 41 years. I think over a dozen College World Series appearances and never won a national championship. And they've made this run after being last four into the tournament into the College World Series. What a story.
That would fit with the trend lately.
Yes, it would. What we need to do right now, we'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap things up for hour number two, and get you ready for Love It or Leave It to kick off hour number three.
The Outlaws are coming. It's the World of Outlaws NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars. Don't miss a single lap of high-speed wing sprint car racing with the most daring drivers on dirt. Sunday, June 23rd, the Outlaws race back to Dubuque Fairgrounds for one huge night. Don't miss special guest Casey Kane signing autographs at 3:30 p.m. Plus, you can save $5 on general admission tickets at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get your tickets today at slspromotions.com.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. You've got the 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
There's still time to get great Father's Day gifts at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, like your choice of a Cabela's multi-tool or small folding knife, 2 for $10. Save 35% on Redhead Copper Creek cargo shorts and save $80 on Leupold McKenzie 10x42 binoculars. For store locations and more great gift ideas, visit BassPro.com and Cabela's.com with free two-day shipping. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Your adventure starts here.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available at Pet Boys.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production. And it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. If your paint job is looking less than new, bring back that showroom shine with Formula One Wash and Wax, Paste Wax, or Scratch Out on sale now for $2.99 each at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Keep your vehicle looking new with Formula One Auto Care products, $2.99 each at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The
Los Angeles Dodgers and the Chicago Cubs. Live from Dodger Stadium this weekend.
Saturday night starting at 7 o'clock here on The Gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
556? Yes, 2676. Mike Martin, the Florida State coach, has never had a season with less than 40 wins.
That's
absurd.
Crazy.
That is absurd. I know you get a lot of talent at Florida State, but my goodness, what a legacy. I hope they win it for him. I hope they win it this year when nobody expected it.
You might get a lot of talent, but you can even say this, you could say this about the Warriors. You can have all the talent in the world, but especially over a 40-year period to never let up, to never have a bad year, you deserve all the credit in the world for that.
I was talking about not to switch gears too quickly, I was talking about the Chris Archer deal. You remember the pieces that were in that deal? Tyler Glasnow, Austin Meadows.
Uh-huh.
Tyler Glasnow this season is 6-1 with a 1.86 ERA. And Austin Meadows, I think, has a .325 batting average with 12 home runs. And Chris Archer is 3-6 with a 5.73 ERA.
As Jack pointed out, we're only 1 year in, but
it's going to get worse.
Chris Archer's going to have a lot of work to do if he wants to make this deal look a little bit more balanced.
Right. See, we're only 1 year in. I agree with Jack. We need to give it some time. But in my opinion, this is just me predicting what's going to happen. This deal's going to look way worse by the time that we're 4 years into it than it does right now.
Just think about it like this, kind of. You've got, even if Chris Archer returns to form, then great. You've got Chris Archer.
A third starter.
But, Tyler Glasnow is pretty good, too. Like, those two kind of cancel each other out, and you also gave up Austin Meadows, who's an all-star outfielder. So, Chris Archer's got his work cut out for him.
Kyle, are you pumped to give your last big board update in about 25 minutes?
I am. I am incredibly ready. I've been looking forward to this one all day.
We'll be ready because they are brought to you by Alexander Lumber. If you're planning on a home remodel or upgrading the windows in your home, check out the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. Love It or Leave It is coming up next to round out to start the third hour of the program. We haven't given away our Freedom Festival prize pack, have we?
Nope.
A Freedom Festival prize package available right now to caller number 6. You will get 4 buttons to the Freedom Festival. One lucky listener this week, I believe, is going to get a gold button, which gets you even more great prizes. And it's a $50 value, and it is yours right now if you are caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. Jackson Parker on the other side of the glass is going to let us know as we see the phone line light up. Caller number 6, we'll congratulate them on the other side of this break. We're going to get to a top of the hour Sports Center update, and then Love It or Leave It. It is a Friday staple. Plenty of NBA finals talk, maybe even a talk about a parade that one of us is going to on, well, tomorrow.
I'm not going
to
a parade.
Louis. No, you're not. That's interesting. Well, you'll find out about it next, won't you?
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Steve Lennox. As the Toronto Raptors were celebrating the NBA championship on the floor at Oracle Arena Thursday night, team president of basketball operations Masai Ujiri was allegedly involved in an incident involving a police officer. Alameda County Sheriff's Office confirming it is investigating Ujiri on suspicion of misdemeanor battery on the officer. The Raptors are going to hold their championship parade in Toronto on Monday. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr addressing the media today, already understanding that there will be changes next season.
It's hard to even picture what next year's team will look like at this point, and we'll see how it all shakes out. We're hoping to have both those guys back, and if that's the case, it'd be great, but neither one would be available for quite a while to play, so our team's going to look a lot different next year.
GM Bob Myers said today that both Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant are highly important to the organization and deserving of being rewarded in the right manner. Day two of the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Justin Rose, 1-under for the round. Currently the lead at 7-under overall. Phil Mickelson is at 3-under through the first six holes of the day. Tiger Woods at even par after a second round 72. Woods closed a second round earlier with his only two bogeys on the day. Boston Bruins captain Zdeno Chara confirmed that he suffered multiple fractures to his jaw when he was hit with a puck during Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. He is expected to need 5 to 6 weeks for a full recovery.
The 2019 NBA Draft, live from the Barclays Center in New York, Thursday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. You got the time. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Miller Beer. Welcome to the High Life. You've got the time. We've got the beer. 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
This year, tell Daddy special with great gifts from Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, like Bass Pro flag tees and logo caps for only $5 each. Save $40 on a Cuddyback Moonlight IR game camera and save $200 on a Traeger Liltex Elite Pellet Grill. Plus, get a free cover. For store locations and a huge selection of great Father's Day gift ideas, visit BassPro.com and Cabela's.com with free two-day shipping. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Your adventure starts here.
Team number two in town as Joe Mauer weekend kicks off. The Royals begin a three-game series at Target Field on Friday. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:03, 1 hour separates us from sending you off on your way for a weekend. It is a Friday at 6:04. A Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. Kyle Mann is in for Todd Brommelkamp. Jackson Parker switches seats with Kyle. He is in Kyle's normal. It's just a lot of shifting, but we are.
I actually brought my regular seat into the studio.
Oh, you have your seat? You have your regular seat?
Jackson's sitting in a crappy stool that sits over there.
Okay. Well, he's doing a great job keeping us on the air all afternoon long. Matt in Cedar Rapids, congratulations. You are the winner of our Freedom Festival prize pack, and that is our final giveaway of the week. I want to thank Sean Woodley, who joined us at 4:35. Jack Dom, Mount Mercy baseball coach, joined us just a few minutes ago for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases. We've had plenty of great basketball and football discussion for you thus far. The entire podcast will be available at KGYM Radio following the show. And you can vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question. Who will win the U.S. Open? The leader right now is Justin Rose. He's an option, as is Brooks Koepka, Francesco Molinari, Ricky Fowler, Tiger Woods, or other. Let's check in on that. Let's see what the results are thus far. So far, other is leading the way with 50% of the vote. Interesting. But we will keep tabs on what is going on at Pebble Beach in the final hour of our show. But first, it is a Friday staple. We need to get to Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm okay. Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
Alex, I'm going to let you go first. Hockey players celebrate better than any other athletes.
Oh, I love this. Kyle, do you remember Alexander Ovechkin and the about week-long bender he went on after after winning the Stanley Cup last year? I have been watching Twitter as my favorite franchise has won their first Stanley Cup the day before. And the amount of times that I see hockey players going into random dive bars like O.B. Clark's in St. Louis and carrying the cup around, interacting with the fans, shotgunning beers, not necessarily drinking responsibly, I have to admit that, but enjoying themselves in random bars with all of the fans, it makes me think that there is no other sport where you would see that. But you see LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, after they beat the Golden State Warriors, go to the most exclusive club in Las Vegas, behind a rope, and getting their own private bottle service, which is fine. You would never see a Major League Baseball team at some random bar interacting with the fan. You just don't see that. In hockey, for whatever reason, they know how to celebrate, and they know how to embrace the fanfare that comes with winning the first Stanley Cup in the history of a franchise, and they are enjoying it, they're enjoying themselves, and they're doing so with the fans. And it's not just the Blues. We saw last year the Washington Capitals did a great job of it, and it's so fun to watch and view Twitter when all of this is going on, no matter what team it is.
Number two.
I love that, by the way. NBA offseason.
Yeah, this is something we jumped the gun a little bit yesterday and started talking about the NBA offseason already, but I love it. I regard the NBA offseason as the most exciting offseason in all of sports. And in some ways, at least, you know, the playoffs are exciting, don't get me wrong, but in some ways, I'm almost more interested on a day-to-day basis in the NBA offseason than I am in the NBA regular season, because the NBA by far is the most mobile for its players. Their players move all the time, whether it's trades or free agency. There's no debating that basketball is the most fluid sport that we have. And this offseason of all offseasons is going to be particularly incredible because, you know, KD is going to be out. We know that, but he's still going to be out on the market. From the sounds of it, he's not going to be opting in unless something goes wrong with all the other teams, which I wouldn't anticipate. So KD could be out there. Kawhi, fresh off a finals MVP, could be out there. Kyrie, a proven, you know, really good player. Kemba Walker. And then you're also looking at guys like Anthony Davis could be traded. Mike Conley could be traded. CP3 could even be traded from Houston. Wouldn't that be crazy? Jimmy Butler already said that he's opting out of his deal. He's on the open market. D'Angelo Russell is a huge star. He's going to get some big offers. And then you've even got guys like Tobias Harris, Boogie Cousins, you know, Paul Millsap. There are a ton of impact players available in the NBA this summer. And at no other point does every team in the league feel like, well, maybe not every team. Nobody's going to sign with the Jazz or the Grizzlies. But pretty much at no other time in any other sport do as many different teams, you know, percentage-wise, feel like they could do something in the upcoming season. Everything is out in the open right now. You have no idea what your roster is going to look like in just a month or so. It's very exciting to me. I love it.
Number three.
The Warriors literally falling apart.
Leave it. I know that there are a lot of Warriors haters out there. And I know that there were a lot of people that took some, enjoyed watching them lose. And I also know that there are people out there criticizing them as if something could have been done to avoid what we just saw. Truth of the matter, nothing could have been done to avoid what we just saw. The best player, one of the best players in the world right now, injures himself in the conference finals, is rushed back, tears his Achilles. We don't know when we're going to see Kevin Durant again. Boogie Cousins is out there trying to give it his all. I mean, the guy could barely get up and down the court, couldn't jump, had no explosion, nothing, no quickness, nothing that makes Boogie Cousins, when he's right, one of the best centers in the league. With Klay Thompson, he was hobbled by a hamstring injury the entire time, and in the last game of the season, tears his ACL. There's a torn Achilles by the second best player in the league, and now all of a sudden, a torn ACL for one of the best shooters this game has ever seen. Kevon Looney out there playing through two broken ribs, not being able to breathe. Part of me is happy that Toronto won. It's a good story. It's a country that is now embracing basketball more than they ever have. And a mid-market team that did something that nobody thought that they could. But at the same time, we wait through an 82-game regular season. A meaningless regular season. And then three rounds of the playoffs for the NBA Finals. To entertain us, a lot of people. I know that the big time NBA fans would say, we watch it all. Good for you. But a lot of people don't. And we're ready for the NBA Finals when they come around. And to see a dynasty like that not lose because they were beaten by the other team, but lose because their bodies fell apart. It's heartbreaking. It really is. And I think it robbed us from seeing what would have been a very, very good series between two great basketball teams. So I leave it.
Number four.
Run it back.
You kind of set this up for me a little bit because, you know, we mentioned this just in the opening minutes of the show today. You know, I'm happy for Toronto. You know, I'm happy for Canada, you know, and I respect the trade that Masai Ujiri had the confidence to do, and I'm glad that it worked. But it is hard to watch that game last night and not come away just it was devastating. I'm not a Warriors fan, but as a basketball fan, KD lost torn Achilles. Klay Thompson in the middle of trying to, you know, will that team to victory to live to fight another day, blows out his ACL. It's just terrible to see. Think about, you know, if this were in the regular season and those guys played for different teams, let's say, you know, on a Tuesday, LeBron James ruptures his Achilles. And then a couple days later on Thursday, you know, Devin Booker tears his ACL. People around the league are saying, wow, what a terrible week this has been. This is devastating. Two of the brightest stars taken out in 1 week. And on such a high stage, it was just terrible to see that. And so I mentioned earlier, I'm kind of ready. If the report is true that maybe we're moving away from the super team era and, you know, we're going to see a little bit more even talent distribution, I am for that. But after the way that this series played out, if the Warriors decide that they want to get all back together and run it back, there's a report that Kevin Durant called Klay Thompson, you know, immediately after the injury happened, and Klay's father says that he can't say exactly what they said, but it was along the lines of there's unfinished business now. And I'm very much going to be in support if Kevin Durant signs another deal, stays in Golden State. Klay Thompson isn't going anywhere. We know that. But I was kind of with everybody where I was over the Warriors. You know, you guys are so loaded. It kind of takes the fun out of everything. But after seeing the way things played out, with Klay and Kevin and Kevon Looney, I want them to run it back. Kevin Durant only signs a 2-year deal. They run it back one more time. I don't care how long it lasts, but I want to see those guys run it back. And I don't know. They don't have anything to prove. But like we said earlier, this just isn't supposed. It wasn't supposed to go down like that. You know, the Warriors team. Not to take anything away from the Raptors, but those weren't the Warriors out there that the Raptors beat last night, and that's a shame. So the idea of the Warriors running it back, I love.
Number five.
The conductor.
This is where I point to the fact that an Iowa native was a coach of an NBA championship team. Also a friend of the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn, who joined us a year ago to the day.
Should hopefully join us next week.
Hopefully. Oh, that would be, wow, that's a tease. that would be awesome if we could get Nick Nurse back on the show. But the job that he did as the conductor of this team has been nothing short of remarkable. I know everybody's going to point to the addition of Kawhi Leonard, and rightfully so. You add a player like that onto your team, You're a championship contender. Let's call it what it is. You're a championship contender with Kawhi Leonard on your team. But the mixing and matching that Nick Nurse was able to do, the changing of game plans, the in-game adjustments that Nick Nurse was able to make this postseason, the lighthearted attitude around the locker room where they didn't get flustered when they fell down 2-0 in the Milwaukee series or experienced a lot of the injuries that they did earlier in the season. I think Nick Nurse had a very big imprint on this championship and was able to put all of the pieces where they in roles where they could succeed. And because of that, the Toronto Raptors are NBA champions. So I love this.
Number six.
Oh, boy. Being a hack.
Yeah, no, I leave it. Are you familiar with Skip Bayless?
Never heard of him.
Good. Dude is a hack. And I know I'm not breaking any news to anybody out here, but just in the minutes following Clay's injury last night, Skip Bayless tweeted out, "Oh no, if not for the KD situation, Clay obviously would try to tough it out and play. This is such overreaction." And I don't know. You know, we touched on this a little bit on Wednesday where people just, if you think you have any reason to possibly, I don't know, be right about anything, you'll just say it. Skip Bayless is incredibly guilty of just being incendiary for the sake of being incendiary. Because anybody who saw the replay of what Clay did, knees don't bend like that. If you watch any volume of sports, you know that if a knee bends like that, something's wrong. It's either a severe sprain or, you know, a full tear. And it ended up to be a torn ACL. And so just seeing the replay and knowing that if you just wait until the morning, there's probably going to be a report that this dude blew his knee out. You're going to sit there and tweet that this is an overreaction based on the KD situation? Clay's only not coming in because of what happened with KD? Klay Thompson left Game 6 of the NBA Finals on crutches. You think it's an overreaction based on what happened to somebody else? That is being a hack 101. Don't wait for the information. Just say something incendiary and just throw it out there. And here's another thing. It's pretty disrespectful to Klay to just assume that he would try to tough this out, but he's not because of something else that happened. Klay did try to come out and tough it out. He came out and sunk a couple free throws on his torn ACL. So to take anything away from his toughness and it was just stupid, poorly thought out, and Skip Bayless is a hack, and I'm leaving it.
Number seven.
The Cardinals' logic.
I leave this. As I mentioned with Jack Dom, the St. Louis Cardinals their grace period is over. The St. Louis Blues distracting everyone from the St. Louis Cardinals, that's done. The parade's tomorrow, and the Cardinals are a game over 500. And you hear John Mozeliak, the president of the baseball operation, saying, "Oh, well, they're only 4.5 games out. It's not time to panic." Here's the problem. That's exactly what they've been saying for the last 3.5 years. And for the last 3.5 years, nobody who knows anything about baseball could even begin to look at the rest of the division and say, "Oh, well, the Cardinals lineup, it matches up very well with the Chicago Cubs. It matches up very well with the Milwaukee Brewers." It's this sort of, let's just sit around, let's wait, let's sit around 500. And despite the fact that this team looks at times hapless on the field, their offense is completely Jekyll and Hyde. Their pitching is very inconsistent. They're inconsistent at every level, starting pitching, the bullpen, the starting lineup. Despite the fact that they look up at two teams that are way better than they are on paper and in the standings, they still continue to try to stick to the plan, and the plan is not working. The plan has not worked for the last 3.5 years, and major changes have been made each of the last 2 years. They made changes to the coaching staff 2 years ago. They fired their manager, Mike Matheny, last year. And then Mike Schilt came in. They won some games. Now they've fallen back. Now they've fallen back to around 500 since they named Mike Schilt the interim manager. Doesn't matter who the manager is. the team doesn't stack up to the other teams in their division, that's the fact of the matter. That's the only thing that matters. And there are two people, really one person, that is responsible for that. His name is John Mozeliak. And he can try to hide behind the fact that they're only 4.5 games out all he wants. But the same problems that this organization has had the last 3 years, they haven't changed. They're exactly the same problems that they were in 2016. So I leave the logic that I hear from the front office of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Number 8.
Everybody ready for baseball?
That's all we got left. I don't mind it. In fact, within the parameters of this game, I would say I love it. There's nothing going on anymore. So everybody who's been wondering, why can't baseball get any coverage? It's still probably not really going to get as much as you thought it should, but it's all we have. And, there is a lot going on. I would say there's really only two division races that are already locked up. That would be the Dodgers and the Astros in the respective Western divisions. But even the AL Central, the Twins are 11 games up, which is the largest lead in all of baseball. But the Indians, I'm not guaranteeing that the Indians are going to come up on the Twins' heels, but the Indians are a talented team. Even though they're 11 games back, I don't think you can totally count them out yet. And so even that one division that would appear to be pretty much uncontested, I just don't think you can sleep on it. And then pretty much every other division in baseball is very close. The Brewers and Cubs are one game apart. The Cardinals only 4.5 games back. The Braves and Phillies right there at the top of the AL East. And then in the American League East, I would consider this the most interesting division in baseball because the Yankees and Rays, half game apart. And then like we talked about with Jack Dom, the Red Sox, 6.5 games back. Are they going to shed this hangover at all? I would expect that they do at some point. So there's still a lot of really good baseball that we're going to have over the next 2.5 months, and I'm here for it. I love it.
Number 9.
Sorry, College World Series, you're going to have to wait.
I love this. I was excited. For the first time in my life, I was going to be heading to Omaha this weekend for the College World Series. I've heard great things about it. You heard Jack Dom just about, we'll call it, 25 minutes ago joining our program and saying that it's a bucket list item. I've heard from people on the Hurtine and Stocker text line that it's a great event to go to, and I was really excited to go. And then the Blues won the Stanley Cup, and then they announced that the Stanley Cup parade is going to be on Saturday. And I've asked so many people, do I need to change my plans? Do I need to go to St. Louis? The answer every single time is absolutely yes. So I will be heading to St. Louis with 500,000 of my closest friends to celebrate the first Stanley Cup in the history of the St. Louis Blues. I promise, folks, this will be the last time you hear about it, but I will be at the parade. And the cool thing is, as many people as that are going to be down there, there are still plenty of hotels available. The Cardinals are out of town. The Blues are going to take center stage just one more time to celebrate the accomplishment of this team, this historic team, and I am going to be there witnessing all of it. I'm going to eventually make it to a College World Series. It's just not going to be this year. Hopefully next year. I love this.
Number 10.
There's a first time for everything.
Indeed there is, Alex. I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and I'm going to be ready to keep an eye on the WNBA. Do you know who plays tomorrow night?
The Dallas Wings.
The Dallas Wings host the Atlanta Dream, and potentially active in that game is Megan Gustafson, who, as we talked about yesterday, was drafted by the Wings just a little over a month ago, I believe, and then cut before the season even started. And, it's just kind of funny how things work out sometimes, because you draft Megan Gustafson because she comes with a certain skill set, which is rebounding, scoring in the paint, scoring efficiently, and then you cut her. And as the season has progressed, they're 4 games in, and they happen to be right around the worst team in the league at everything Megan Gustafson's good at. And so I'm excited to see. It would just be a really good story if Megan Gustafson, now she's clearly going to a team that needs her talents. I would have assumed that she wouldn't have gotten cut the first time. But now going into this second chance, like I just outlined, they need her skill set. It would appear that there is an opportunity for Megan Gustafson to make an impact and make an impact with that team sooner rather than later. And I just think that that would make a really good story. And so for the first time in my entire life, I will be keeping an eye on the WNBA tomorrow, and I'm excited for a WNBA game. I love it.
If you don't love it, leave it.
6:26, just about 20 minutes to play with before we hand you off to ESPN programming, right?
We have Twins and Royals.
ESPN programming on two of the three frequencies. That would be 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and the historic Main Gym, 1600 AM. Twins and Royals on 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. So we'll have that following the conclusion of the show. We'll have plenty of great programming for you over the weekend as well. Did you see the story about Zdeno Chara?
No.
Did you see the prognosis?
No.
So in case you were wondering, he took a puck off the face in game three of the playoffs, yeah, or game three of the Stanley Cup final for the Boston Bruins off the stick of Braden Schenn from the St. Louis Blues. People were projecting that he broke his jaw. Well, he broke his jaw in two different places. He had multiple fractures in his jaw, and apparently it was being held together by plates and pins while he was playing the final three games of the series.
It makes my face hurt. I've got two big bugaboos. I don't know if that's the proper use of bugaboo, but I've got two, like, really, like, you don't want to break anything in your body. You don't want to break anything. But I always thought breaking a jaw or getting, like, a real bad jam on your nose,
That can kill you.
Ah, God.
That can kill you. There's a reason.
It makes my face hurt to even think about it. And so if that were to happen to me, dude, the last thing I want to do is go. How fast do you get going on skates?
15, 20 miles an hour.
How many times you get smashed face first into the boards going 15 miles an hour?
A lot.
Oh, my God. Hockey players are tough, dude.
They're crazy. They are absolutely crazy. But yeah, that's what he was working with. Two fractures in his jaw. The Cubs and the Dodgers are going to get underway tonight. Are you going to be taking in any of that series?
Yeah, dude. It starts at 9 o'clock, so I'm going to have time to get dinner, get something fired up, just throw it on. I'm chilling tonight, man.
6:28. We need to take a break. We'll come back. Kyle will get you the final Alexander Lumber Big Board update of the day, and we'll wrap things up with our final segment of the day. I know folks are excited for this. The NBA offseason. How much is it going to dominate the headlines? We'll discuss next.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar, just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom at 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer? All the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
If you build it, he will come.
This Father's Day, join the Colonels for Field of Dreams Day at the ballpark. The first 1,000 fans will receive a souvenir baseball, and fans can meet Dwyer Brown, who played John Kinsella in the movie. All kids 12 and under eat free every Sunday thanks to Western Fraternal Life. All fans are welcome to enjoy a game of catch in the outfield and run the bases as part of Prairie Farms Run the Bases Sunday after the game. Get tickets at colonels.com.
Whether your project's below ground, above ground, or you're just breaking ground, United Rentals has the equipment and tools you need. We sell expertly maintained used equipment from forklifts and backhoes to scissor lifts and boom lifts. Visit us online to search our inventory of more than 4,000 equipment categories and get custom information on any unit. Visit unitedrentals.com/used today.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
The Los Angeles Dodgers and the Chicago Cubs. Live from Dodger Stadium this weekend.
Saturday night starting at 7 o'clock here on the gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
The Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn rolls on a Friday. We'll be back on Monday in the KGYM studio with the gym class at 3 p.m. That's when you'll hear more KGYM programming after the conclusion of this show. We hope you enjoy your weekend. I haven't looked at the weather. We expecting some showers?
I've seen some rain
in the forecast, but hope everyone enjoys their weekend. We have about 15 minutes remaining in the show, and before we get to how the NBA is going to absolutely dominate the headlines in the offseason. Yeah, I know most of you are saying, well, they do already in most years. This year especially, we'll explain why in just a second. But first, we need to get you your final Alexander Lumber Big Board update of the day. Answers by Alexander will help you choose the deck that's right for your outdoor space and your budget with two locations in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
The Raptors won Canada's first NBA championship last night, which is all well and good, but we all now need to recognize Nick Nurse as an all-time Iowa sports figure. Born in Carroll, Iowa, Nurse became UNI's most efficient three-point shooter in program history in the mid-80s at 47% before beginning his coaching career as an assistant under Eldon Miller. He spent nearly 30 years coaching overseas and in the G League before now becoming a champion in his first season as a head coach. Next up on the NBA schedule, even before free agency officially begins, is the draft. That takes place in less than a week already, next Thursday. Iowa State's Talon Horton Tucker is the local guy who's got a chance to sneak into the first round. According to an aggregate big board from HoopsHype.com, which is similar to the 24/7 Sports composite rankings that combines a handful of top scouting outlets and turns it into one list, Horton Tucker is the 36th prospect, while Iowa's Tyler Cook is 60th, and former Cyclone Lindell Wigginton isn't even ranked by enough outlets to make the 78-man list. The Colonels were shut out last night going for a sweep of Wisconsin. They now trail Burlington by two games for a wildcard spot, with only a three-game weekend series against Clinton remaining here in the first half. That series is right here in town, so you can be there as they try to sneak into the playoffs beginning tonight at 6:35 on a Z102.9 Mug Club night. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins and Royals on the North Gym. We'll have the end of that series tomorrow and the beginning of another hosting Boston on Sunday. We're also going to have the Cubs and Dodgers tomorrow evening on the South and Main Gyms.
I know how much people love the National Basketball Association in this market. It's pretty polarizing, right? In Iowa City and Cedar Rapids and the area for which we broadcast.
I think there are more fans than gets credit. But at the same, the fans who
love
don't
it or
like
you
it,
don't like it.
Yeah, and you really don't like it.
Right. And one of the biggest gripes that I hear from people who don't like it is that it just grabs the headlines. It's all that programs like we hear earlier in the day on ESPN National Program talk about. It's all the national talking heads talk about. Once the NBA, during the NBA season, it's all about the NBA. And then during the summer, NBA free agency and trade rumors rule everything. If you think it was bad in previous years, or bad, if you think it was that way in previous years, Kyle, this offseason is going to be bonkers in the NBA. And here's how it's going to dominate the headlines. First of all, the draft is next Thursday. You're going to have all the talk about Zion Williamson and Ja Morant, mostly Zion Williamson, but also probably the New Orleans Pelicans trading Anthony Davis yep. to what could be the Los Angeles Lakers.
And that within the next week.
Within the next week. So, if you don't like NBA headlines, it's going to get even more crazy just within the next week. So then there's the draft. And free agency begins on June 30th. And we've already talked about free agency. Where's Kawhi Leonard going to end up? Where's Kevin Durant going to end up? Is he going to opt in? Are the Knicks going to be the ones that sign him, knowing that he's going to have to sit out a year? Who else is in free agency? Kemba Walker?
Oh, where to
Klay
start?
Klay Thompson?
Yeah, free agents are Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler already opted out?
D'Angelo Russell's restricted, but he's going to get max offers from somewhere. I would have to guess, especially if the Nets are going to end up with Kyrie, D'Angelo Russell will have a new home with a nice max contract. Tobias Harris is also going to be out there. Paul Millsap, as I mentioned.
Yeah, those aren't even going to be covered because everyone else is just... Those in years past would be talked about.
Exactly.
But this year they won't.
And that speaks to the depth because you're talking about, you know, Paul Millsap was the second best player on a Nuggets team that made it deep in the Western Conference playoffs last year. So, you know, the guys who you're exactly right. Paul Millsap, Tobias Harris, that's not going to be who everybody's talking about. But those are really good pieces for potential championship teams. That is how deep this class is.
I'm not done. So I mentioned the draft is next Thursday, right?
Yes.
And there's a generational type talent that's going to go number one overall, Zion Williamson, a guy who has been famous since he was 15 years old, a guy who is one of the most hyped prospects we've seen since LeBron James. You know that guy, Zion Williamson. Well, he's going to get drafted number one overall on Thursday. There's no debate about that. But doesn't ESPN have the NBA Summer League broadcasting on their networks?
Sure do.
Zion Williamson playing in the Summer League. So on top of free agency, something that might overshadow that is Zion Williamson playing in the NBA Summer League. Can you imagine how many reporters and how many cameras are going to be on every single shot he takes in Las Vegas? Everyone.
Van Gundy made a comment during the broadcast last night that, you know, and you know what I noticed during the playoffs is Van Gundy is a very good company man, where if they tease the halftime crew coming up, he goes, oh, they do such a great job.
Right.
He's a good company man. And so when he made the comment last night, he was talking about, you know, it's crazy to think that, you know, even the NBA Summer League has become must-see TV. I actually tweeted about it because I was like, okay, I'm excited to see most of these guys. But let's pump the brakes.
Not must see TV.
On calling the Summer League must see TV. I didn't realize until you walked in earlier today. He's right. The Summer League this summer of all summers is must see TV because that is Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson had a million Instagram followers while he was still in high school. People want to see this guy play basketball, and if you think that, you know, since the Summer League is just the Summer League, that's going to stop. You're wrong. This is going to be the best summer of Summer League ever.
Highly anticipated by that I've seen.
I would
far.
Be yeah. I'm extremely confident in saying the TV ratings for the Summer League are probably going to blow, you know, all past ratings out of the water.
26-76. I love the NFL, but the NBA will absolutely dominate the news the next couple of months. All the possible free agents and trade options are crazy. This leads me to my next point. Like, baseball's going on. Right? There is a sport that is being played right now, the regular season, and they get no headlines. And it's not because of the media, it's because of the product. What is there to say about Major League Baseball right now?
Well,
what's there to say?
What's interesting about that is that we've had this discussion before.
We have.
How can baseball help itself? And the answer is, you know, there's a lot of answers. But a good place to start is to just allow your players to be themselves a little bit. Open things up. We made the comment yesterday that the NBA, it's almost, you could almost safely call the NBA a social media-driven
league.
That's
exactly what it is.
It wouldn't be that hard for any other sport to become that. And you know, there's a thing with football where they're in pads, they wear helmets, you know.
I've heard that discussed, that NBA players, you see their faces, it's like you can reach out and touch them.
Baseball has
you,
that.
You feel like you're connected to the players.
If baseball...
Yeah, they do. Baseball has that.
Physically speaking and visually speaking, baseball has what basketball has. What it doesn't is the freedom to allow these guys to be people. Because think about what are the baseball stories the last month or so that do get in the mainstream cycle? What are they?
Tim Anderson gets plunked.
Exactly.
Madison Bumgarner goes after Max Muncy.
Let us see these guys' emotions. Let us see that these guys don't like each other. You know, as it is, they're just 9 guys, 15, 20 guys who go out on a baseball field, play a game, and then go home and do it again the next day. Allow us to see inside the way the NBA does. And baseball doesn't have to be completely ignored in the news cycle. There's a lot of other things to fix, but in terms of how do you get in the news cycle during your own season, let us know the players a little.
See, the problem with baseball is, like we just said, they can't get in the news cycle during the course of their own season. So from May to about July, they're the only thing going. As soon as the NFL preseason starts, they're forgotten about.
Yep.
And the playoffs are in October, right in the middle of football season. And yeah, I know baseball fans out there they'd say there's nothing quite like October baseball. October baseball's great. But help me out here on the Hurtin and Stocker text line or the phone line. Are you watching your team? Are you watching a team play in the World Series if it's not yours most of the time? If it's not a team that you dislike? I mean, the Cubs in 2016 is exactly what Major League Baseball wanted. Why do they want that? Because there are a lot of Cubs fans, and there are a lot of people that don't like the Cubs, and so they will tune in either way. There's no indifference. How much indifference is there in Major League Baseball because it's such a regional sport? I couldn't tell you anything about the Philadelphia Phillies. I couldn't tell you anything about the San Diego Padres. I don't even want to watch the Cardinals right now. Does that make me a bad fan? Yeah, probably. Probably. I have said this, and this is going to be the hottest of hot takes. And it's going to upset several baseball fans out there. I have not been to a Major League Baseball game in the last 5 years that I didn't want to leave early from, including Cardinals games.
They can get a little boring. They can wear. I'll say this. Basketball, I don't necessarily know if this is true. Football, I don't necessarily know if this is true. But baseball, I much prefer to consume from my couch at home.
Oh, yeah. You can change the channel. You can get up and.
In baseball and football, you know, there's quote unquote, there's action to be close to. But in baseball, there's really not. It's a small ball that you can't really see. You're really far away from, you know, if you're sitting in the bleachers, you're hundreds of feet from the infield. You can see stuff, but you don't really feel like you're there.
If you go to a Major League Baseball game, or even a minor league baseball game, any professional baseball game, what percentage would you say are people treating a baseball game like a trip to the bar? I'm going with my friends, I'm sitting here, I'm having a beer, I'm having a hot dog. What percentage are like that compared to the percentage that are tuned in and absolutely keen on the outcome, that are absolutely dialed in and care who wins the game?
I can tell you, I can answer that question for you. I am a baseball fan. I am a Cubs fan. I was at the Cubs-Cardinals game last Saturday where the Cardinals go up 4-0 and the Cubs, you know,
knew that wasn't going to last.
The Cubs battle back. They end up winning comfortably 9-4. There was a Schwarber bomb. You know, it was a really exciting game, as I found out from the highlights and stories afterwards, because on the bus ride back, I was talking to my lady who I went with, and I said, is it just me or did you like watch any of the game? Because I had a great time and so did she, but as we're sitting there, I was like, I need to look at the box score. I don't know what happened.
I was at, when I was working in Oregon, we were playing a team. The team that I was announcing for was the Corvallis Knights. We were playing a team in Bremerton, Washington, which is just on the other side of the Puget Sound from Seattle, and a game got rained out. So we're like, all right, let's go to the Mariners game. The Mariners are playing the Mets. and I'm sitting in the outfield and the whole team's there. I mean, these are college baseball players going to a Major League Baseball game. Nobody was watching the game. I am sitting here and I look down at my phone and my phone had sent me an alert. This is when Bartolo Colon was pitching for the Mets. And it's Bartolo Colon, perfect through six innings.
You didn't know.
Had no idea.
Oh my goodness.
Had no idea.
That's funny.
That's what we're working with right now. That's honestly what we're working with.
This kind of, though, I wouldn't really have thought about it like this, but isn't that how you like baseball? Like, don't you like baseball to just be real chill?
I do remember a time in baseball where there was more action, where there were more balls in play.
That's called October.
It was a different way of playing the game. Everything has changed now, and I understand it gives you an advantage. I absolutely believe that a lot of the changes have taken away the entertainment value of the game. I like home runs. The home runs aren't
so
the problem.
I. But I like when steroids.
The home runs aren't the problem, but when that's the only way you can score, when I see a stat that 46% of runs scored in June so far have come via the home run ball, is that good for the entertainment value of your game? Pop-up, strikeout, pop-up, strikeout, home run. That's the rhythm I hear in my head every time I go to a Major League Baseball game right now.
And I think that the word action has come up a couple times in this conversation where I think baseball, you hear the discussion about how long baseball games take and how can we fix that? Put a pitch timer on. But
yeah, it's not about that.
Yeah, it's not about the time. It's about the action. As you just said, if you've got, a couple home runs, a couple mammoth home runs individually, those moments are pretty exciting. But if that came with 17 straight groundouts in between, that's boring. And so if I wish the Cubs could run in a couple of these guys. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who wish their team had a few more guys who can hit 300. Just poke one the opposite way. Just a little
bit
more
shift.
Action. Yeah, beat the shift. A little dribbler past the third base hole that's been vacated because you only pull to the right field. That might be a boring hit. Like, kind of in the moment. But I think slowly, if you wind up with guys more on base more often, it won't feel, each hit isn't going to feel exciting. But at the end of the game, you'll notice yourself having been more entertained.
Through a 9-3-6-6-1600, we are well overdue for our final break of the day. We will take it. We will come back, wrap things up, send you on your way for a weekend, and tell you about next week after this.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
The Bomba ballot is now open.
Cruz drops the boom in Baltimore here in the opening inning.
Get out of here! Home run, Byron Buxton!
Eddie Rosario with a ninth inning three-run homer.
Vote for your Minnesota Twins 5 times a day to receive access to a $10 ticket for the Twins-Rangers series leading into the All-Star break.
Congratulations, Polanco, a cycle in Philadelphia.
To redeem your ticket and vote, visit twinsbaseball.com/vote.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports. You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
Wedding season is upon us, and the easiest way to look fresh for the big day is with the BlackTux.com. The BlackTux has awesome suits and tuxedos that you rent online. With their free home try-on, you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. After ordering, it will arrive 14 days before your event. Stand out for the right reasons with the BlackTux. For $20 off your purchase, visit theBlackTux.com and enter code SPAIN. That's theBlackTux.com, code SPAIN.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
You could win free fuel for a year in the Shell Great Gas Giveaway. Fuel Rewards members are automatically entered every time they purchase 8 gallons or more. And if you choose new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, you get 4 entries. So, it's time to fill up for a chance to win. Not a member? To join, download the app or go to fuelrewards.com/win. No purchase necessary. Motion ends 9/1/19. See official rules at fuelrewards.com/win for how to enter by mail and all details.
Team number 2 in town as Joe Mauer weekend kicks off. The Royals begin a 3-game series at Target Field on Friday. Hi, this is Corey Provost on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
That'll do it for a Friday program. Thank you to Kyle Mann, Jackson Parker, and everyone keeping us going here throughout the week. We'll be back, Kyle and I, on Monday, as we'll have plenty of great guests and maybe some other things on tap for you when we rejoin you in the KGYM studio. I want to thank Sean Woodley one more time for joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, for his weekly segment, Touching All Bases, joined us at 5:30. We had Love It or Leave It at 6. If you missed anything, not to worry. The podcast is available at KGYMradio.com. You can also vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question. Who wins the U.S. Open? Justin Rose, Brooks Koepka, Francesco Molinari, Ricky Fowler, Tiger Woods, or other. Still time to vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question. As I mentioned, podcasts will be available at KGYMradio.com. Cubs and Dodgers are on tap for you this weekend. Plenty of great sports action, even though the NBA and the NHL their seasons are finished. Plenty of great discussion about the NBA and a little NFL talk earlier today as well. Not sure what we will have on tap for you as far as Tuesday and Wednesday, but I know it's going to be great. Join us then. We'll talk to you then.